Welcome to the Fantastic Four, a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. This is the podcast that combines comics, cocktails, and conversation for your listening pleasure. I am your host, Brett Young. And because we require equal time, I am joined by the other half of the monitor tapes, Mr. Doug Adamson. Doug, welcome to the Fantastic Lounge. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And I have to say, this is very impressive right here. I mean, very, very nice. I like this. This is the sort of place I would like to come as designated driver to pick up my friends from. So I like this.
You'd be quite popular as a designated driver.
Yeah, I often am.
Fantastic Lounge. Yeah, yeah. I would definitely put out a tip jar in the back seat as well, because you should be able to get something out of that, my friend. We included some bagpipes tonight just to make you feel more at home as well.
So, that's because there's nothing more that a Scotsman needs to hear is more bloody bagpipes, especially if you live in Edinburgh.
Very good. Is that the area you're in? I am the
capital of Scotland, which upsets a lot of Glaswegian people who think Glasgow should be the capital because it's the bigger city. But I'm in the best city. Literally, well, I know this for a fact because they've done a big survey, and Edinburgh is kind of considered the third best city in the world to live.
Really?
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of surveys about it. We've got a castle in the middle of town. Most things are walkable. Yeah. If you ever come to visit, I'll give you a tour, you know, all these sort of things. Yeah. So that's where I am. But we do have bagpipes from just basically every corner in the city center during the summer holidays. So it's horrendous.
All right. Well, now I got to know about what. So you have a castle in the middle of the city. What's going on with that? Is it just sort of a historic landmark, or do people go inside?
Right.
Is it a functional castle?
It's a functional castle. It's used. Mm-hmm. The military used to have offices in there. I think they still do, but it's mm-hmm. one you can. It's basically the entire city's based around it. So gotcha. The castle's there first, just to be clear.
Right.
You know, because we are pretty old here. Mm-hmm. You know, not like you're jumped up, you know, North Americans that built a castle next to the railway station. We had a railway station that was built next to the castle.
Right.
So it's imposing. You can pretty much see it from anywhere in the city, as long as you've got the right, you know, a clear sight line. So it's pretty mm-hmm. big. And you can go and wander around. It's not cheap. We're not stupid. We're going to fleece the Americans when they come
tourists.
But it's got a great sense of history, etc. And my father was, when he was raised at the foot of the castle, when he in the town, so he's climbed up to get to the bottom of the walls, which I look now and go no, but they've stopped that now. But yes, so that's what we've got.
Oh, fascinating! I love that. Yeah, we're a lot. I'm right outside of Washington D.C., so we have a lot of historic things, but like our historic stuff is still like basically infancy. So your historic, you know, to Europe, it's like everything's so much older over there. You know, we're like, wow, this was made 200 years ago.
Right, yeah.
That's nice.
I think the castle or something, the fort, because it's on a volcanic rock, etc. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty impenetrable. I think it's been there for about 1500 years. I'd have to double check. It's been there. It's been there a while.
Well, we should probably get moving along. So before we get started, if you like the show, especially Castle Talk and many others on the Fire and Water Podcast Network, consider supporting our efforts and become a Patreon at patreon.com/FW podcast. There you can unlock various rewards, including being name checked on the show of your choice. Thanks to Sean Ross and Jay Campbell for choosing the Fantastic Four. Now, Doug, speaking of Sean and Jay, if they had a gladiator battle, which weapon do you think each man would choose, just off the top of your head?
Well, I think one of them would have that metal chain net thing.
Oh,
that they used
yes.
to have. Yeah, they didn't. Yeah. It wasn't very common, but by God, once you had that on, you couldn't fight back. And I think Sean would be using that.
Okay.
Jay, probably the trident thing, maybe. The big long pokey thing.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I like those a lot. I always almost put those hand in hand. I'm glad you picked those two, because a lot of times you'll see the guy with both, and I'm like, well, why has he got the net if he's got the trident? You know, he'd want like a shield or something like that.
Yeah.
But the net, that's perfect. I love that. And I think I could see Sean just having the net. I could also see Sean just kind of curl up with the net and go to sleep.
Yeah, just like, I'm done. You know,
be like,
I'm done.
I give up.
I'll do it myself. You'll just like throw it from. It's a throw. Yeah. It was lovely. Thanks for inviting me. You know.
Yeah, yeah. And and with Jay with a trident, I things are going to escalate. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I have Jay in that one.
Pretty much.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get on with the show. So sometime ahead of recording each podcast, I ask my guest two things. Choose an alcohol, beverage, or ingredient that they enjoy, and choose a comic book character that they love. Now, based on the answers, I come up with a cocktail for us to create and choose a comic book to discuss. Now, Doug, can you please tell our friends in the lounge your chosen ingredient and comic book character? Let's start with your character.
Oh, my character. Okay, my character is Blue Beetle, the Ted Kord version. Very clear on this. Don't get me wrong, I love all the versions of Blue Beetle, but Ted Kord is my guy.
Now, why is that?
Well, how long have you got? Well, I'll give you the short version. Basically, I was introduced to Ted Kord in Crisis on Infinite Earth. You may have heard of it. It's a very popular book, podcast about him. And he was a new character to the DC universe. I mean, and I was at that age, like, this is a new character. This is my gateway drug. I mean, I've been reading Blue Devil for a bit, and I'd read other Justice League books and all the rest of it. Don't get me wrong, but this is a brand new character. And I got issue one, which was pretty impressive for me because I normally end up starting an issue four or issue whatever it is. So I got issue one of Blue Beetle, and I recognized that the artist was originally the Blue Devil artist, which is Paris Cullins, and I thought, I'm here. And then I discovered that he's a tinkerer and he builds things, and he was more about, a gun that fires air, compressed air, and blinds people. And I'm thinking, that's pretty cool. And I didn't know anything about his history at that stage, and I've since learned about it. And I think the thing that I really love about Ted is he was allowed to get fat, because speaking as a man in his 50s, early 50s, to be clear in this matter, I can relate. So I can understand that, when you're sat in front of a desk all day doing monitor duty, there's snacks there. There's stacks of Oreos. You're going to get through them, So yeah, I appreciate it. And he's a smart guy, and I have to say that when Geoff Johns did what Geoff Johns did, I nearly hunted down Geoff Johns, and it wouldn't have been pretty. I mean, I'd have called up in a ball and just said, "Why did you do that?" But he would have been terrified for at least 3 seconds.
And thankfully, that has been either forgotten or changed, or he was
Retconned
brought
out.
back, retconned out. And we still have Ted Kord in our lives, not as much as we used to back in the 80s or into the 90s a little bit, but at least he's alive and well,
Yes.
which is step number one, which is important. So,
Indeed.
yeah.
Indeed.
So very good. Well, real quick, Blue Beetle, real name, Theodore Stephen Ted Kord. His first appearance was in Captain Atom, issue 83, back in May of 1966 from Charlton Publishing. And he was created by Steve Ditko. And is it Gary Frederick? Frederick, I believe it's
Friedrich.
Friedrich.
Friedrich,
Thank you. Thank you.
I
I think you're
think.
right. Yeah, there's an I in there. Yep. Friedrich. And we'll get back to Blue Beetle soon. Now, in the meantime, Doug, why don't you tell us your ingredient of choice?
It's bananas.
Why did you pick bananas?
Well, I don't drink, not for lack of trying. And I try when I was at university or college, as you call it, it's in American for some reason. My friends all try to. Well, there was 1 week because we're scientists. I'm a physicist by trade, and we did it 1 night a week to try different types of alcohol to see if I could actually consume them, because I smell puts me off. I feel violently ill very quickly after I have some. So 1 day was beer, next day was cider, next day was, well, I've got the order mixed up, I can never remember. One day was spirits, 1 day was, I can't remember. But anyway, so we went through, and generally within half an hour, I was like, no, this is not a good plan. I think they named a toilet bowl after me in that student union for that
Jeez.
week. It was not good. So I've tried alcohol. I don't like it. The smell doesn't get it. Now, my mother is the same. My father drinks, so it's we think genetic on my mother's side. My grandfather, it was the same. He was teetotal. And my daughters cannot stand the smell of the stuff, really. So they take one sniff at, like, oh, that's not good. Now, okay, they're not supposed to be drinking. They're under the age of 15, but still the sense of it. So we think we're genetic throwbacks, which is great. That's what you want, because everyone else in Scotland generally consumes alcohol without a problem. I'm the opposite. So therefore, when I want to go for a drink, I want to drink something that's different, and I don't always want fizzy drinks. So when we were in Germany with my wife, she introduced me to the concept of a drink called Kiba, which is banana juice and cherry juice mixed together. And this was quite popular in the pubs. And I'm thinking, I now have a drink that makes me look like I belong here, and at the same time doesn't make me look like a lightweight. And therefore, and I
Interesting.
like and I like eating bananas. I normally have one a day.
They're good for you. Yeah, you got that
They are.
potassium.
Yes, they are.
Well, yeah, that's it was interesting when you said bananas because I was like, what's going on? But I like bananas fine, you know, like I said, you know, they're really good. So, you know, I was a runner in high school and college and stuff like that. So, I ate a lot of bananas because the potassium, you know, helps you from cramping and stuff like that. It's really good. So,
Yes.
I've always liked bananas, but it was certainly a challenge. And like I've always said, all are welcome in the Fantasta Lounge. You do not have to be a drinker to be in the lounge. And we have welcomed mocktails on the show before, and we will always do that, do so whenever possible. Whenever a drink can be used as a mocktail as well, I always include that ingredient or excuse me, that recipe as well. So in this case, we're working backwards. We're going to make a mocktail, and then I'm going to tell you how you can add some booze to it if you want to for some of our other friends in the lounge. So we will be going over those recipes very shortly. But in the meantime, I wanted to give a little more information about what this drink will be based on. And that is the banana daiquiri in a segment I like to call Secret Porridgins.
Oh,
Now, I did.
well
Thank you.
done.
Thank
Well done. I
you.
applaud that. As
It
a dad, that is a top quality dad pun.
is.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Am I the first person that's heard that? Because honestly, that's amazing.
Oddly enough, no. No, but I think
Oh,
you've
right.
given me the best reaction. So you win. You win.
I
Absolutely. Thank you.
applaud puns like that. That's brilliant.
All past guests, please take note of the way Doug reacted to this. Thank you very much. All right, here we go. So the origin of the banana daiquiri. Thank you to mountaintopv1.com and tastingtable.com for research and quotes. The banana daiquiri is exactly what it sounds like. It's a daiquiri that includes bananas. A standard daiquiri is made up of white rum, lime juice, and sugar. In 1853, on the island of St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands, British sea captain George Soulis sailed from his native island of Barbados on a mission to find the ultimate Caribbean cocktail. His search sailed him from Guadalupe to Saba to Martinique, but it was the island of St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands where he finally achieved his goal. Soleil traversed the mountaintop to the highest point of St. Peter Mountain. There, he concocted the ideal island drink, the banana daiquiri. His original recipe consisted of the Virgin Islands Cruzan rum, the captain's homemade secret banana liqueur, fresh lime juice, sugarcane extract, and ripe bananas from a nearby grove. Now, what is a secret porridge without some controversy? While many attribute the banana daiquiri's creation to Captain Soleil, others give credit to the legendary bartender Harry Yee. In the 1950s, Harry was an ocean away from Soleil in Waikiki, Hawaii. His banana daiquiri was a little different than Soleil's. Yee used locally produced old Lahaina gold rum, lime juice, banana puree, and a splash of maraschino cherry syrup. Yee is also credited as a creator of the Blue Hawaiian cocktail, as well as being the first person to garnish a drink with an orchid and a popular tiny drink umbrella. And that is the secret origin of the banana daiquiri. Now, a couple notes there. Harry Yee will also be featured in the episode right before this that I did with John Stibe. So look for his name there. And the other point is, if you notice, his recipe uses a maraschino cherry syrup. So I'm wondering if there's some connection between that and what you were having. And you said in Germany, I believe,
A cherry, yes, it
your
was
mocktail, because
Kiba.
you it was like cherry. It was
Yeah.
cherry and bananas, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So he's kind of using some of those ingredients
Ooh,
there. So it could sort of be based
interesting.
on that. Could be kind of a
Yeah.
mocktail version of what Yee was making. So there you go.
Nice. There you
Yeah,
go.
it all
Wow.
comes together.
That's not often the case when I'm involved, so we'll just take the victory.
All right, well, Doug, let's make this drink. Now I call this blue banana, although it really didn't turn out that blue, but we'll worry about that
No,
later.
it didn't. No.
The effort was there. All right, Doug, why don't you tell us what we need?
Right, well, the ingredients are banana, which is sliced, 1 cup of pineapple chunks, half a cup of coconut milk or cream of coconut, 1 cup of pineapple juice, 1 ounce, which I had to look up to translate into British measurements,
Sorry.
blue beetle syrup, as you we'll discuss that in a second, 1 cup of ice, and whipped cream and a maraschino cherry. Now, I'd just like to point out cups we don't use in the UK, so I luckily have American measuring sticks for measuring cups for cups because we bought them because we make so many American recipes.
There you
So
go.
we were okay until the ounces. But anyway, we got
Sorry
that
about that.
solved. In the end, we were sorted.
So yeah, go ahead. And how do we make this drink?
I would just like to point out that I seem to have done a lot more work than other people, but it's fine. It's okay. Give it to the Scots guy, the guy that doesn't drink. Let's give him the most of the work because at least he's sober.
You go.
Anyway, I added the banana, the pineapple, the coconut milk, the pineapple juice, and the blue beetle syrup into a high-speed blender. Then I added the ice and then blended that until it was nice and smooth, lovely and creamy, and poured it into what you describe as a hurricane or tall glass. We just used a
Yeah.
tall glass. We don't know what a
Hurricane
hurricane
glass
glass
is
is.
sort of like it's used for a lot of like tropical drinks. It almost looks like sort of a curvy, almost like an hourglass shape
Yeah,
tulip type glass. But
we figured this out,
yeah, I
but
didn't
the
expect
point
you
is
to
that
have one of those.
we don't have them because we don't have hurricanes over here. When we have strong winds, it's just a Tuesday, and Americans make a big deal about it. I've got stories about that, but that's another
very
story.
dramatic
Anyway, so
about
we
our
then
weather. Yes.
we oh you are
Yeah.
anyway, and then you garnish it with we garnished it with whipped cream, put a pineapple wedge in, put a banana slice, and we put a cherry on top. Although
There
the
you go.
cherry sunk right through because obviously our whipped cream wasn't as thick as yours. But it was really nice.
Good,
Now,
good.
for the blue beetle syrup, this is where we had a bit of an issue here because it was 2 cups of water and one heated low. Then we added 1 cup of sugar, which is fine. Added a juice of a lemon and a juice of an orange, which is brilliant. Oh, we're all doing well here. Heated it up because that's what we're supposed to do. Let it cool. Then added 3 drops of blue food coloring. However, blue food coloring, when mixed with orange and yellow, as we've discovered, turns green. Now, it was a greenish blue, I'll give you that, but it was still greenish. So other than that, it was fine. So that was the syrup that we used.
Yeah, we had a similar issue. This particular syrup is also used in the other episode that's going to come out right before this one with John Stipe. Yeah, we did our best to kind of make it blue. With the citrus, adding some yellowish orangish color. And then you add the blue. Yes, it's going to make it more green, but at least it adds some flavor to it. Adds some color to it,
Yes.
and the effort's there. I actually dropped in a couple more drops of food coloring into the blender when I was blending it up to give it a little extra bluish color, and it came out kind of aqua. But like I said, the
It
point is there.
tasted lovely.
The one thing
So
you can do to make it, so if you do want to make this a boozy drink, the only basic change you need to make is add a white or coconut rum to it, add about 1 to 2 ounces of that. And if you have it, you could add some blue curacao, which is basically a blue flavored triple sec, blue colored triple sec, I should say. That will definitely punctuate the blue. But
Yes.
again, we can't do that. I wanted to come up with the syrup because this was primarily
That's fine.
going to be a mocktail, and obviously we can't use blue curacao for that. So I tried something a little different, mixed results, but
It's fine.
the point is, as long as it tasted good, that's
Yes.
what
And
mattered.
it
So
had a hint of blue, don't get me wrong.
yeah.
It was a little. The only concern I have was, and this is a story you may want to edit out, is I thought David told you about my blue food coloring story. This is why it was added to the list.
No, he didn't.
Many, right. Well, again, you might need to edit this out because it is quite scatological in the story. But this is a true story. This is
Can't wait. Go
one of my family and friends called Doug Tale, which is when we walk into the world of Dougality, which is like where everyone else lives in reality, I live in my own little world. That's why it's called Dougality. I have a website that had to be called that. Anyway, so many, many, many years ago, not long after my wife had moved in, we weren't married at the time. Sorry, she was my flatmate. We were making a cake for one of our friends to celebrate. They had been to 50 American football games for the Scottish Claymores,
Oh,
which is
okay.
quite a thing because the league only played 10 games a year and they'd managed to get to every single one of them, including the away games. Okay, my wife and I met through American football. She's got no complaints about American football. It's awesome. So she made a lovely cake and then put blue icing on it. So normal icing, blue colouring in. Nobody thought anything of it for ages. A couple of months later, I'm getting up in the morning and I go decide to have a yogurt and I go, oh, we've only got plain yogurt. I know, I'll put in some blueberry flavouring. So I went off and opened the cupboards. I remember we've got this blueberry flavour, and I put some in. It didn't taste very blue. So I didn't feel blueberries. Like, oh, this is different. So I put more in. Still didn't taste a blueberry. So I put a bit more in. I was like, this is rubbish. Didn't think anything of it. Finished off the yogurt because I don't want to waste food. I'm Scottish.
Right.
And then went off to work. The very next morning, after, this is weeks after the cake. The next morning, I got up, and I have to get up early. It's from about 5:30, 6:30 in the morning, I think, before everyone else gets up in the household kitchen. I have to go and, do what you have to do first thing in the morning. And I happen, as I get up to flush, notice that everything in the bowl is green. And we're not talking green as in tingy green. We're talking green. And I'm like, that shouldn't be that color. That should be brown. What the heck's happened here? I mean, it looked almost luminous. And I was thinking, oh my God, now this is 1999, maybe 2000. The internet is incredibly slow. Nobody has put images on. There's no Dr. Google. So I go on my dial-up internet while my girlfriend at the time, or yeah, she was still my girlfriend, we weren't engaged lads, was sleeping to check to see what this could mean. And you get all the other colors, like black. Oh, black's not good. And if it's this color, if it's red, no, that's not good. But nobody covered. There's no green was not even in the agenda. So I'm sitting there waiting, going, "Well, I can't go to work. I might have to go to. I mean, this is a hospital trip. My God. I mean, do I phone the doctors? What do I do?" So I decided the best course of action at the stage was to go and wake my soon to be wife, to get her to come and have a look, because I needed a second opinion. So here comes this bleary eyed, "Why are you getting me up before 7 o'clock, before the alarms have gone? Why are you so agitated?" And I'm going, look how green it is. It's green. That's not natural. Something's happened." And she's like, "What have you done?" No idea. No idea. So she wasn't very happy. I was panicking all day. Couldn't get a doctor's appointment. Anyway, so we just wrote it off. Next day, everything's back to normal. It's like, whew, we have no idea what this is. This has been, and every so often it comes up in conversation. It's like, still can't figure out what caused that. I was like, what was I exposed to? And then months later, we're cleaning out cupboards, and my wife goes, "Oh, we've got this blue food dye. We really need to get rid of it." I said, "Let's say blue food dye." "Yeah." So you did it for the, you used it for the cake. "Yeah, it's blueberry flavored, right?" He says, "No, it's just the dye." And I'm like, "Oh, I thought it was blueberry flavored, and I put it in a yogurt all those months ago, and I basically put in half a bottle of the stuff because I could, there was no flavor. I thought that the flavor evaporated." So to test being a scientist, I thought, right, we now need to recreate the problem to check that it's the same result. And I'm pleased to say, yes, it was exactly the outcome that we expected.
That's
And I was relieved.
fantastic.
I did not feel I had to be worried about being abducted by aliens that were giving me green poo. Anyway, there you go. So that's why you might want to edit that story out, because it is quite fascinating.
No, there's no chance I'm editing that out. I might open
But
with
yeah,
that.
that is one of my favorite. And I told Dave when I was in Florida, and his wife, and they just looked like, "I cannot believe you're this stupid." I said, "Well, looking back, yes, but back then nobody would. It's green. It was like Hulk glowing almost. It was horrendous." Anyway,
That's
there
so
you go.
funny. That's so funny.
This drink's great, by the way. I should point that out.
I was gonna say, we'll talk about that in just a second. Somehow after that, Doug and I are going to enjoy our blue banana as
Sorry.
as he tells me if I look Bonnie or Peely Wally. Did I say those right?
Peely Wally.
Peely
Peely
Wally?
Wally, yes. Do you know
Peely
what that
Wally.
Peely Wally means?
I think it means like, do I look good or do I look like crap, basically?
Peely
Is that the
Wally
case?
normally means you're very, very pale in the face, look like you've maybe eaten something you shouldn't do, and you're not feeling well, or all the colors drain from your skin. I mean, it's basically a way to describe, "Oh, they're not great." Funnily enough, my daughter, who was off school because she wasn't feeling well, I said to her the other day, "You look a very Peely Wally." And she just looked at me and said, "Will you stop using Scottish words that nobody uses these days?" I said, "You go and phone your grandparents because they will use it." But anyway, yes,
Perfect.
so she looked Peely Wally. Yes, so Bonnie is lovely and Peely Wally, but you look Bonnie, so that's good.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to hear. All right. Well, everyone in the lounge is welcome to drink along as we listen to this promo break.
Worlds would live.
Worlds would die.
And DC Comics would never be the same again.
Crisis on Infinite Earths, the crossover so epic it reached every corner of the DC multiverse. Join DC Dave
and Doug Adamson as we discuss The Monitor Tapes,
a Crisis on Infinite Earths podcast.
Find us on your favorite podcatcher and join the discussion at themonitortapes.com.
And we're back. And now that we've had a chance to taste our blue banana, is it I or nay? Did I say this
It's
right? I said
a
this right, right?
you said it perfectly.
These are
I'm very
all
impressed.
Scottish terms I looked up on
You
Google
well
like last week. So there you go.
you've got the vernacular correct.
Very
It
good.
is a double I, as I would call it. It's awesome.
Good.
Or if you're as in the west coast of Scotland, you'd call it Gallus. I would say
Very
it was
good.
absolutely fantastic. My family have all tried it as well because obviously the
Mm-hmm.
kids there's no alcohol in it. The kids they've then we made two glasses. I got one, and the rest of them had to share, so they're not very happy about that.
Very
But we're going to
good.
be making it again, so
Yeah.
you're on a winner.
Yeah, it's I kind of wanted to combine. I didn't want to do a straight like kind of mocktail of a banana daiquiri. I wanted to sort of combine. I thought if I combine it a little bit with a, so it's basically a combination of a banana daiquiri and a pina colada, more or less, obviously
It
without the
was
booze. So
really, really nice.
good. Did
Really nice.
did you find did the pineapple overtake the banana flavor, or do you think that it was a good balance?
I think that we well, I added two bananas because I just
Oh, you
decided.
did. Okay.
So I just decided
All
that I
right.
wanted more banana. So you could taste all of them.
Right.
But yeah, I think the banana didn't overpower it, but it was certainly strong. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was really nice, and I'd recommend two bananas because, might as
Okay.
well.
Okay, that's good to know. So, I did it both ways. Last night, I made one, I made the alcoholic version, and today I made the mocktail version. So, the alcoholic version turned out really well. I just used a nice I used a white Bacardi rum. And I used a little bit of triple sec, and I did find with this recipe, I think it's a pretty good blend of banana and pineapple. You might taste a little more pineapple than banana because also with the coconut milk in there as well, it's sort of, you get a blend of all. It's nice and smooth. It's easy drinking. And like you said, if you are a big banana fan, like our friend Doug here, absolutely throw in an extra banana or half a banana or something like that, and that'll even it up or bring the banana up to the top a little bit as far as flavor profile goes. So, yep. All right. Well, while we enjoy our blue banana in the Fantastic Lounge, how about some fine literature? The comic we will be discussing that involves Blue Beetle is Blue Beetle, Volume 1, Issue 10 from DC Comics. Cover date, March 1987. On sale date, December 11th, 1986. Cover price, 75 cents. Title, Time on His Hands. Writer, Len Wein. Penciler Chuck Patton, inker Del Barris, letterer John Costanza, colorist Eugene D'Angelo, and cover art was by Paris Cullins. So I always say Collins. Paris Cullins and Bruce Patterson. So thank you, Mike's Amazing World of Comics, for that information. And Doug, would you like to tell our friends in the Fantastic Lounge what the story's all about?
It's part of the Legends crossover, so some of the things don't make a lot of sense if you
Right.
don't know what happened in the Legends, but that's fine. So basically, Melody and Jeremiah, characters that will make sense as they go on, went with Angie to the hospital before Ted's arrived and was greeted with tension by the red-headed employee. When Ted returns to Cord Industries, which he owns, he takes the elevator down to his fortress, decides to confront Kronos as Blue Beetle, because it turns out Angie's uncle is Kronos. In Midtown, Melody is currently reading Chicago Sun-Times about Blue Beetle and breaking the law, because there's been a law introduced thanks to G. Gordon Godfrey, convincing everyone that all the superheroes need to be off the streets. But right before she throws her newspaper away, a girl has snatched her purse. As the girl runs, she's then hit by a truck, and Melody orders the driver to call an ambulance. Blue Beetle stops by Angie's house and is left in camouflage, which is a really cool new thing that we hadn't seen before. But he, because he's in costume, was seen by a neighbor while entering the house. If you're trying to convince people you're not a criminal, maybe not break into a house dressed as a superhero. But anyway, fine. Inside the house, he finds a receipt for the rental of a downtown warehouse. And after exiting the house, two policemen aim their guns at him because, he's breaking the rules. But he manages to escape in his bug using some really cool technology. And then he does some research using the bug's computer about Kronos, who is a guy called David Clinton. Meanwhile, back at the Midtown Hospital, there's a lot of hospitals in this issue. Or maybe it's the same hospital twice, because it is Chicago. We're not really sure. Anyway, Melody was told that the girl was barely stable, and when she attempted to visit her, two men shocked the redhead That's Melody. Before taking the girl away in a helicopter, Blue Beetle searched the warehouse mentioned in the receipt and hid when Kronos turns up. Woohoo, he's managed to find him straight away. Better detective work than Batman has done recently. I'll be very clear about that. The hero attempts to apprehend the villain before before Kronos fled on his sundial, his flying sundial. I mean, come on, that is just brilliant.
Wonderful. Yep.
And they fight all the way through the city before they crash into Buckingham Fountain, which I presume is some famous fountain in Chicago. After the crash, civilians order Blue Beetle to leave and throw cans at him, because obviously superheroes are bad. And then Kronos attempts to run away. He drops his stopwatch, and Blue Beetle uses it to freeze him in time before he himself flees the angry civilians in his bug. So there you go. As I said, it doesn't all make sense because it's a bit of a continuation of the previous issue.
Yes, by the way, real quick, Clarence F. Buckingham Memorial Fountain. Yeah, it's in the
Thank
middle of
you.
Chicago. It is a famous, it's used in a lot of shots. I think it was used, there's a old show called Married with Children, if you're familiar. I
Yes,
think
I'm
that
aware of Married
the
with
opening
Children.
shot when you see a fountain shoot up in the air, I think that's supposed to be
I've probably
Buckingham
been there
Fountain.
because I have been to Chicago one time, which was for a which is for a Giants Bears game, not intentionally, but that's another story for another day.
That's going to be, look, we're going to talk some football. So
That's fine.
everyone be prepared. At the end of this, we're going to talk some football. But I'll warn everybody ahead of time. But yes, we will talk some football. So let's dive right into it. So what did you think of the cover?
Well, the first thing you have to understand is the cover does not appear in this issue. This
No.
is a fantastic cover. Is Blue Beetle fighting Kronos? Looks like in some sort of weird time zone or alternative dimension. There's clocks everywhere. They've got the Salvador Dali melted clock effect and all the rest of it. And it looks brilliant. It's Paris Cullors and Bruce Patterson, who I think are a very good combination. I'm not so sure that Barris Cullen's works as well with Del Barris. I think Del Barris has got heavier inks, so it doesn't shine as much, which is one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this issue, because we have a different penciler to Barris Cullen's. We've got Chuck Patton doing the art, so it looks fantastic. I mean, I bought this off the shelf and went, "Yes, that looks brilliant." Then read it and went, "Huh?" Because I was expecting some intertime stuff. And to be fair, Blue Beetle does end up fighting Kronos in the future. When I say the future, I don't mean like in the story. I mean in the future of his. This is a bit science-fi, but in future issues,
Future
let's put it
issue,
that way, he fights Kronos and there is time travel involved then.
yeah, I like the cover too. It is one of those that kind of pops off the shelf type covers. And you're right, while it doesn't appear, it has the spirit there. Kronos is supposed to be a master of time. He does duke it out with Blue Beetle in the comic. He does show up at his warehouse where there's lots of clocks. It's almost like they're in the warehouse and maybe Blue Beetle took the wrong pill or something like that. And that's kind of what he's feeling or something like that. But it's a great cover. It's a lot of fun. I will say the only thing I found odd about it was Blue Beetle's face is almost completely covered by the he's kind of throwing a he's throwing a haymaker high and basically so his shoulder and arm are kind of covering everything basically except his goggles and the top of his cowl. So it's and Kronos almost has the more heroic pose. Like I feel like if they it's again, this is a small quibble, it's a great cover. If they switched their poses, I think it would be a little better because I think Blue Beetle would be a little more out front. You'd see more of him. And his colors are a little dark for some reason too. I don't know if that had something to do with the print. I'm looking at it digitally. So I don't know if you are you do you have the actual issue or are you looking at it
I
digitally
have the
as well?
actual issue in the loft, but I looked at the digital version. And that reminds me, I've just remembered something. We're talking about Blue Beetle colours. I forgot to look out my Blue Beetle hoodie that my wife made me.
Oh, look at that. Wow, that's
Yeah.
nice. Now that's a nice
So
blue.
yeah, it's a nice blue, yes. So I put this hoodie on. I wear this to Comic Cons. And I mean, she's done the edging of the dark blue as well,
Oh,
so
that's
like
so
the
nice.
costume. Yeah, it's amazing. That was one of my most favorite gifts I got. I think I've
Wow.
got it for my 40th, actually, when I think about it. But anyway, yes, so that is very dark on the cover of the issue. It's too dark. It's almost like when he went to the when they introduced Blue Beetle's like I'm trying to think, stealth mode costume, which was dark, all darks. There was no light blues in it at all. But yes, but it's still it's a good contrast, so I'm not going to complain.
It's like his alternative jersey or something like that, kind of.
Yeah,
Yeah, one of
that's a
those
very
deals.
good way to
Yeah.
describe it.
Trying to sell more jerseys, so they
But
here's the
what do
second
if
Blue Beetle one.
since we're talking about jerseys, well, I have to we have to talk about Cronus's pants. I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my next thing. Would you like to would you like to d detail for everyone in the Fantastic Lines, those who aren't familiar with Kronos, the time thief, what his costume looks like? What does Kronos look like? Go
He looks like somebody who stole the pants of a zebra,
ahead.
while at the same time stealing Robin's red shorts and a green tunic, and then decide that what he'll then do is he'll have a nice big flowing yellow cape, Dr. Fate, very clever, but then decides to paint his face white for reasons that make no sense whatsoever. And he's got Iron Man's chest piece. He's also got yellow boots and yellow gloves. So he looks like somebody who was sort of dipped in color and they forgot to do their legs. They sort of like ran out of the time. So, oh, we don't have time to color the legs. Oh, it don't matter. We'll just stick it out there. And I know this is his classic look.
Yes, it is.
So, this is nothing to be. This is one of the things to discuss about Cronus is the fact that they're creating the Blue Beetle in the DC universe. They had to create villains for him. Or they had to steal some villains, and Cronus is traditionally an Atom villain. So, in fact, I think Ted mentions that. He's like, I'll need to speak to the Atom about this. So, it's a garish outfit.
Yes, it
It
is. Yeah,
it's
it's
horrendous.
amazing. It's horrible but wonderful.
Yes,
It's
nineteen. It looks something like straight out the 1960s.
yes, it does. All right. Well, why don't we talk about the issue itself? And you gave a very good breakdown. And as we talked about, the issue itself sort of starts with the splash page is kind of interesting because you have the security guard front from Cord Industries walking into the emergency room with his hand out. His hand is like in the face of the reader, and it says it's an emergency, get out of the way. And you have a woman on a gurney, and there's an EMT bringing her in as along with two concerning friends. Now, so we are in the hospital with these people. Can you tell me a little bit about who these people are again? Because I'm sort of parachuting into the Blue Beetle
You
comic,
are,
and I
and to be
will,
fair, to be,
yeah, go ahead. No, no,
I
go
was gonna
ahead,
say,
go ahead.
and to be fair, I can see why, because it does assume you've read the last issue.
Yes, it does.
It's sort of like, oh yeah, it's a sequential comic art. So what's happened is that the lady in the gurney is one of the receptionists at Cord Industries, and she has been stealing from Cord Industries, and Ted's known about this because he's a smart guy, smarter than Batman. Keep saying this. And she didn't realize why her uncle was stealing. She was stealing stuff for her uncle. When she only finds out at the end of last issue that her uncle is Kronos, because it's not like you wear that costume on a day-to-day basis. You only for it's a special occasion thing. So he was revealed in the final issue, and then he froze her in time. So Ted had gone over to try and sort all this stuff out and tried to rescue her
Is
and
there a
woke her up.
reason he did that? He froze her in time, or
So the reason he froze her was because he didn't want he appreciated what she had done for him, for stealing all the equipment he needed to build his time stuff. But at the same time, she was a loose end. So rather than kill her because of what he does with everybody else, he froze her in time so she couldn't clipen him to the cops. Sorry,
All right,
clipe.
very
I
good.
don't know if you've heard that phrase.
I have
Clipe.
clipe,
It's like
like
clipe is
rat
a
him out.
rat mount. Yes,
Okay,
clipe's
very good.
there's a phrase we use in Scotland quite a bit. Oh, you're a clipe. You're a grass or something like that. That's the way we describe it.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah,
Okay. All
a rat
right.
him out. Yeah.
All right. Now,
So
who are the other two folks there?
the other two folk, the red hair's Melody. She is one of the Cord Industry. She's like Ted's second in command, and there's another guy who's one of the chief scientists or engineers at Cord Industry. So that's how they all get together.
So I guess at this point she's sort of w awoken from this time freeze, more or less at
Yes.
this point. And the excuse is that she had a seizure. They're
That
just saying she had a
that
seizure, because so they don't have to explain all this.
because otherwise it's like, you what? Explain this to me. Oh, superhero science.
Sorry, go
Yeah,
ahead, go
I was
ahead.
going to say, and why would Ted know that she was frozen in time if he's just an ordinary person? He had to cover it up.
And speaking of Ted, he comes in to the emergency room after this wearing a fabulous, at first I thought it was a Ted Danson Cheers level rugby shirt, but I think it's actually more Now that I look at it again, I think it's more like a Cosby level sweater with the with the collar, with a white like a white shirt underneath with the collar popping out.
Yeah.
So and then
It's
he's got
so
purple,
80s. So 80s.
he's got purple Bruce Banner pants on, and
I
then
know.
he has sneakers on, sort of an aqua green sneakers with or teal, I guess, more teal colored sneakers.
Yeah.
And it looks like it has the Velcro straps, straps over the laces. So we're killing it here. Ted's got it going on. He's ready for he's
Yeah, and to be fair, as much as I make fun of Rob Liefeld all the times he can't draw feet,
Right.
this is actually pretty good art to be able
Oh,
to identify his
absolutely,
Velcro
yes.
straps. That's quality craftsmanship.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
Chuck Patton's, I mean, I really like Chuck Patton's art style, so it works really well. But yeah, it does look like that's the second worst outfit other than Kronos in this issue.
Yes, yeah, I'd say so. I'd say so, yeah. So he's covering for her, and his subordinates are a little peeved and they don't know what's going on, especially I'm drawing a blank on her name again. I'm sorry.
Melanie,
The Melanie, thank
or
you.
is it Melody? Melody, Mel
Melody,
Me Melanie,
yeah,
Melody.
there's obviously some tension there, so she goes
Yeah,
storming off and everything.
she's the sort of will they, won't they? She's the if this is Ted Danson,
Right.
then well, he is Ted, isn't he? Actually, when
Right,
you think about it,
yeah.
then she's the Shelley Long.
And so they both leaving Ted alone with the young lady who was frozen, and he tells, he confesses he knew about her stealing and wants to help her because he figured there was a reason, and says he's going to help her, and then returns to his headquarters, which looks like kind of looks like speaking of Crisis on Infinite Earths, kind of looks like the Monitor Towers a little bit, doesn't
It does a little. It
it?
does look like the giant tuning forks. It's white,
Yeah.
but it's got the same sort of tall and those geometric shapes look a bit like the tuning fork bits. Yeah,
Yeah, it's a
I
really
give you
odd
that.
looking building on the Chicago skyline. I'm wondering if people were worried about retail value once that thing went up. It probably killed some views,
Yeah,
everything
definitely.
of Lake Michigan, and people were not happy about it. But now he is back in his
Beetle Lair, I think we
Beetle
call
Lair.
it.
Yeah, he goes down his Beetle Lair. Now there's an image of him adjusting a dart on a dartboard. It looks like it's got a picture. Is that supposed to be Richard Nixon on the dartboard,
I
his
can't
face?
remember. It's supposed to be somebody he doesn't like. I think it's Nixon.
Okay. All
But
right.
it turns in the same way, Batman's got his way to do his
Yeah.
clock or play notes in the piano
Right.
randomly. Then he twists the middle section of the thing by using the dart, and that opens his secret compartment,
Right.
which he then gulps down like the Thunderbirds down into his lair underground.
This is fun because he's then walking through. He's thinking about his past fights with Kronos, and there's a wonderful image of him thinking about it. And you see Blue Beetle and Kronos going at it, and it's a great picture, full shot picture of Blue Beetle kicking Kronos. It's an awesome action pose. It's a really good photo, a really good drawing. And then he's going through, kind of walking through his headquarters as metallic arms are basically handing him pieces of his costume. This is about 30 years before Iron Man was doing this in the MCU. It's
Yeah.
very similar, very Iron Man-esque.
Well, I think they stole that concept from the Thunderbirds. If you ever seen the British Thunderbirds TV series years ago, the puppets, they had similar things. The bits of the clothing would appear, and
Oh, okay.
they'd put them on. But yeah, a bit like that. Not exactly, but enough that their clothes would appear on a rail, and they'd get changed when they're going through the various sections. But yeah.
Gotcha. So just to be clear, so this is Cord Industries. This is their headquarters. This is their building. And then
Yep.
does he live at Cord Industries? Does he have like a penthouse apartment, or is this like what's the?
I think he does have an
Okay.
apartment in the building that he uses, because I think the access isn't through his office, or I think the office and his room. If I'm,
Okay.
but
Okay.
as to be fair, I haven't read it for a while. But he still has a building. He still has some gainful employment, because
Gotcha.
as things go on in the series, that doesn't quite work out for him, and he
Okay.
eventually has to end up living on a paycheck from the Justice League International, which is quite
Okay.
amusing.
All right. All right. So he's going through his headquarters, and then ends up at his beetle, and which is his flying ship. Does he just call it his be the
He just
beetle?
calls it the bug.
The bug. Excuse me. I'm
Yeah.
sorry. I was saying beetle. I first encountered Blue Beetle probably same as you. I remember him from Crisis. I don't really know much about him at the time. And he had a little bit of a personality that kind of had a Spider-Man-esque style to him a little bit. He would crack some jokes and stuff like that, but he didn't know that much about him yet. I did not really read the series. I have some stray issues of it. So most of my experience of Blue Beetle after this is from Justice League, in Justice League International. He seems like a completely different person in this comic than he is. I mean, DeMatteis and Giffen definitely made him the comic relief in their thing, and I feel like they took some liberties with him as a character. Would you agree with that?
I think it's more like they just turned him up to 11 because he does make wisecracks. He does a bit Spider-Man making the jokes, etc. But they just turned him up to 11. But what they did, and I don't not a lot of people quite understand this, is Ted is a genius. He builds these things, but he's a terrible businessman. He's absolutely hopeless. So when you read Justice League International, it's never Booster Gold that comes up with the crazy zany ideas. He's the fall guy, but it's always Ted that comes up with the nutty ideas. And they always fall apart because while they seem like a good idea, Ted's not very good at the business side of the world. I mean, I don't know, I think there's references in other issues where he particularly talks about the fact that don't talk to me about how much the budget is. That's your job. I'm going to do this. And it's like, well, no, that is you're the CEO, man. You're going to be aware of these things. And that plays out as to why Ted Accord Industries basically goes bust later on.
I would liken that to, I have a lot of experience with restaurants and things like that. I would liken that to, I've worked with some very, very talented chefs who did not know how to balance the books or figure that out. And a lot of wonderful restaurants by very talented chefs would go belly up because they wouldn't relinquish control of certain aspects that they were not good at. It always lended them to go broke, unfortunately. So,
Yes. Well,
yeah,
on
similar.
that subject, you'll be aware of my compatriot, Gordon Ramsay, who goes around to restaurants in America and tells them that they're doing a terrible job. So, yes, I completely relate to that.
So okay, so he gets in the bug. I always love the handle that the grapple handle that comes down, how he gets in and out of the bug. I think he has a specific name for that, does he not? I think he mentions it later. We'll get to it. I think he gets.
But
I think,
the key thing
yeah,
is core strength to be able to do that, and
yeah,
to be held. That's a lot of work.
yeah, yeah. Well,
That's a lot.
that's how you stay in shape, right? That's how you say, because if you're going to be sitting in the bug the whole time, you got to get some workout in between. So there you
Absolutely.
go. And so this comes out, I guess, basically out of Lake Michigan at this point.
It
It comes,
does. It comes out. The offices are on the shores of Lake Michigan, the base down. So I don't know how deep Lake Michigan goes, but
I'm
I
not
would
sure.
hope that I wouldn't be surprised if they had to dig a bit deeper so they could actually put this escape route on it. Because it's a pretty big bug to try and get under the water. You'd think folk would notice.
Maybe. Yeah, they might. And this and that image, so at the bottom of this page of page six, you have the bug emerging from the water, and it does remind me of something that's a little, again, Zack Snyder is not everyone's favorite, but there is a gorgeous image he has in the Watchmen movie of the Owl Ship, which is again that character is sort of based on Blue Beetle from the original Watchmen comic, of it coming out of the water. And it's just a gorgeous, it's just a gorgeous scene. This reminded me instantly of it with the bug
Well,
coming out of
absolutely
him.
meant that Blue Beetle and Night Owl are supposed to be the equivalent because there's an even older version of Night Owl as well, and they've got the continuity. What I will say is, on the Zack Snyder front, his films always look good. His cinematography is fantastic. But the rest. But anyway, that's we're not
Story,
gonna.
not so much,
I've
but
been
yeah,
told not to mention that on this network, so
the
we're just not going there.
yeah,
All I will
they're
say is I much prefer the 4-hour version of Justice League. But then there you
You
go.
know what? Okay, well, we'll digress to this for a second. I enjoyed that too, and it was kind of one of those things. I watched the whole thing, and I was like, I really enjoyed that. I'll never watch it again. And I was like, and I don't want them to take this any further. It's just kind of like, I enjoyed that for what it was. I don't want to see a continuation of this. I don't want to see any new movies based on this world. But that 4-hour movie, I watched it in like 2 nights, because I'm not going to sit there for 4 hours. But I watched it in 2 nights, and I was like, I like that. I like that. It was a lot better than the one they put out in the theaters.
Yes,
But
that was my
and like you
opinion.
say, visually, he has some wonderful scenes. Some wonderful scenes, you know.
Yes,
And the same with
it looks
Watchmen
good.
too. There are some sort of some amazing images. The beginning of Watchmen where they're playing the Bob Dylan song and showing the different sort of like semi-still, semi-moving shots of the Minutemen back in the day and
Yes.
everything is incredible. It's gorgeous. But again,
Yeah.
it's sort of moments in time with him I like, but as movies as a whole, I'm not that crazy about it. Anyway,
Yeah,
I
I'd just like
digress.
to point out that we're really feeding into your network's pitches here. So we've talked about Cheers, and we've now talked about Bob Dylan. So you're
Yeah,
doing
that's
well.
true. I'm really
Whoever
sucking
said that
up
you
to
weren't a
some of these
team
guys.
player is obviously wrong.
I'm a team player, absolutely. I'm a company man. So anyway, so then we cut to our friend whose name I already forgot again. Is it
Melody?
Melody? Melody, thank you.
Yeah.
And she's reading the Chicago Sun-Times about Beatle. It says Beatle defies president on the front of the
Yeah, and that's all
Chicago
tied into
Sun-Times.
the Legends story that's going
Right.
on concurrently, because this is technically ch the same time as Le Legends chapters 15, I think it was. So basically, the president, Ron Reagan, who's the president, has announced that all superheroes should stop causing activities because it's causing riots. And this is all because of the manipulation of G. Gordon Godfrey, who is actually a new god element controlled by Darkseid, who is trying to pollute the minds of everybody into being anti-superheroes.
Good thing that would never happen in real life.
No, that would never happen in real life. No.
So she's walking along, not really paying attention, just reading, grumbling about the newspaper. And a young pickpocket runs by, grabs her purse, takes off. She runs after the girl, and what happened?
Well, she runs after her, chases her down an alley. Now, I could be wrong. I mean, I'm Scottish. I would think in that circumstance, the girl might have a knife or she might have a gun. I wouldn't think about these things, but fair enough. People in Chicago are tough. So she grabs the girl, realizes it's, well, she didn't realize it was a girl the first time, but it becomes clear there because she's got short hair. They have a bit of a fight. She gets kicked in the shin by the girl, who then runs off with the bag. But she's obviously not following any of the rules about crossing a road. I mean, you have to wait for, jaywalking is obviously dangerous. And she gets mulled over by, well, I want to say a semi truck, but I don't know if it's even a dump truck. It's difficult to tell. Anyway, she
It's
gets
kind of
hit.
hard to tell because it's a front-on view. It sort of does look like a dump truck, yeah, or a
Yeah.
trap, maybe a garbage truck or something. Yeah.
Garbage truck.
Anyway,
Yes,
yeah,
yeah.
go ahead.
So she gets hit. But the guy tries to stop to
Right,
avoid
right.
it. And then Melody decides that, this is ridiculous. And so she decides to get somebody to phone for an ambulance. So it's like, so well, you've been robbed. You've then chased a girl, and then she's now been, hit by a bus. And sorry, hit by a bus, hit by a truck. And that's 3 pages of stories that it's pretty impressive that they've cut away from the main story about superhero stuff to cover that sort of petty street crime. I think that was
Right.
quite clever.
Yeah, so you know it's got to have some this story has to have some legs to it if they're giving it 3 pages of real estate.
You'd hope
Absolutely.
so. I'm not so
Yeah.
sure, but anyway.
Oh, well,
But
maybe not. I don't know. You have to let me know.
I think it was just to show, well, if there'd been a superhero here, he would have resulted. This
Wow,
girl wouldn't
that's
have been
true. I didn't
killed
think about
or
that. Yeah.
hit by the truck.
It is also the first time I think I've ever seen a magenta brick wall in an alley in a major city before. So that was sort of
Yeah,
interesting.
I mean, I don't want to suggest that the colorists were taking the day off this week, but I think they were sort of like, oh, we haven't used, what color have we not used this month?
Yeah.
Oh, we've got a bit of magenta. Just
Yeah.
went out and found that and used that up to
Yeah, it's
cover the
like,
costs.
yeah, there's a lot of pastels on these pages. They're
Yeah.
really he's like, yeah,
It was
let's have
the
some fun with
era
this.
of Miami Vice, wasn't
Yep.
it? That
Yes,
was
it
all
was.
pastels.
Absolutely. Yep. Midwest Miami Vice. Okay, so then we cut back to our hero, Beetle, who's flying in the bug over traffic, heading a little north of the city, and he hovers over, I guess, where he thinks the Kronos is living, taps in
Yeah.
some keywords, and the smoke screen goes around the bug so nobody can see it, and then jumps on his. And again, I know that they say it somewhere what this thing is called. It has a name to it, but he his
It's Skywire, isn't it?
Skywire. Thank you. Thank
That's
you.
that.
Yes,
Oh, that's what you meant.
Skywire.
I didn't realize. Yes, he's Skywire.
Yeah. Yeah. His little hand. It's basically, so for those at home, it's more or less a handle, almost like a, I want to see like a trapeze handle, but instead of having cords on the ends, it has one in the middle. So it's kind of one of those things. It has some buttons on it, so I assume he can retract it or move it
Yeah.
up and do whatever he wants with it.
Control the bug from it
Yeah,
as well.
but it just looks like a lot of fun. It's just kind of a fun gimmick, you know. It's a
Yeah.
simple gimmick, but it's kind of fun, and he gets to use it a lot. And there's a dynamic
Indeed.
shot of him, you know, cascading down on this
That
to,
that's the definitive Blue Beetle shot as I'm coming down on the wire, holding onto it. Now, what you might notice in this image is he's got a reverse grip in it, and that's even tougher to hold. I mean, honestly, just showing off.
That's
Just showing
basically, he's
off
got
there.
the old he's got the chin up pose going,
Yeah.
and is ready to just get to town. So Beetle, he's got some good core strength. I think you're right on
Oh,
that.
absolutely, man. He was designed by Steve Ditko originally. Well, at least this version was. So when you think about it like that, Steve Ditko was known for having designed Spider-Man, in theory. So, but well, we won't get to the Jack Kirby argument. But anyway, so he is supposed to be quite muscular and have an acrobat level. Is technically described as having an Olympian acrobat level skill set.
And I never noticed this before, or I don't remember it from the Justice League, and maybe the artist over there just never meant bothered to add it. But he has a little on his gloves, on the forearm part of his gloves, he has a little Beetle
Yeah, and
logos.
that's a control button.
Those are control buttons. Okay. I don't
Yeah.
remember, I don't think they ever depicted those in the Justice League. I don't
I
remember
think
ever
they just
seeing
didn't.
those.
Kevin Maguire was doing so much other stuff that I don't think anybody really paid much attention. And to be fair, he only really used those for controlling the bug. And the bug doesn't last that long. I mean, they do use it in the beginning of Justice League, but then they eventually get the shuttle. And then break that one and get another shuttle. But anyway, they stopped using the bug. So the bug was the original use, and then that was input. That was mothballed. So he probably didn't need the controls.
Yeah, because you see him after he goes down on his skywire, he presses the button, and you can see the skywire heading back up to get out of the way. So, and of course, as he's about to enter this house, there's a woman tending to her garden, and she's like, "Oh my heavens, there's a guy in blue spandex about to enter this house." And of course, we know what's going to happen next. In the meantime, he's inside the house looking for any clues to where he is. And he almost seems to admire Kronos's room because it's covered in all these different weapons and doodads and gadgets and
He's an
stuff like that, because he's
inventor.
a tinker.
Yeah, he's an inventor. He likes building these sort of things. So he's like, "Ooh, that's pretty good." Yeah, and of course he finds a clue because he's a smart guy, and then obviously then walks out into two cops pointing guns at him, and then he does what I would describe as the Spidey motion with his right hand. I have to double check that myself. Yeah, right hand. So it's just like you're really building into that Spider-Man Beetle thing, looking sort of similar. And that controls a release from the bug of some sort of gas, which looks very green, and I would be very worried. Maybe it's supposed to be blue, and it would be mixed with orange. But anyway, and then his skywire comes down. He does a roll. He jumps. He physically jumps over two policemen. Both you and I watch American football, and you know how difficult it is to leapfrog a guy. Now, even when it was done recently by your favorite Chicago, sorry, Philadelphia Eagles running back,
Saquon Barkley,
Saquon Barkley, he did it backwards, and the guy was bending down. No, it wasn't as if these guys are fully standing up, and he still managed to jump them. So that is from a standing jump. That's amazing, frankly. But then he jumps onto his skywire, and he gets pulled away, and he
And
might
not
get.
only that, not only does he dive over them, he does a flip and then grabs the skywire out of the air too. He doesn't land and then
Yeah.
grab the skywire. He grabs it
No,
out of the air. So yeah, it's pretty
it's like
awesome.
one of those Jedi jumps that you see in Star Wars film cartoons, etc. Like, oh, nobody could do that. Double the double jump thing.
Again, he does the he does it so you see three of Blue Beetle. You see him going through the motions. You see him diving, flipping, and then grabbing and swinging along. Like again, another Spider-Man thing that they did a lot in those comics. There's obviously a lot of Ditko influence in
Yeah, and
this
you can
stuff.
see that Chuck Patton's having fun drawing this.
Clearly he is. And then one of the cops is firing at the bug, not even close to it, in a
No.
residential area where I guess he just assumes the bullets just stay up in the air and don't come back down either. So
I've been reliably
great
informed that's what
job.
happens.
Great job with that. I do like, and they kind of show you what's fun is at the bottom of this page, they show you what happens when he takes the sky, I'm fascinated by the Skywire, as
Yeah.
all everybody's like, shut up about the Skywire. When he gets into the beetle, it takes him through a hole in the bottom of the bug. I keep calling it the beetle, up through the bug, and he's still holding on. So you see an image of him still holding on to the Skywire, and he's kind of got his knees up as the seat for the bug
Shift forward.
shifts forward, so he can just then let go of the Skywire, and then he's in his chair.
Yeah,
It's
because
just,
his chair's on a track on the floor, so it can move forward and back, which is brilliant. I mean, and to show that level of detail is just wonderful. I
Yeah,
mean,
it's
you wouldn't
wonderful. Yeah,
normally get that.
it's just a lot of fun gadgetry. Like, I'm not a big, I was as a kid, but I'm not a big now, like a big action figure or toy guy. And I think they've made some version of this, but you can just see this. Like, this would have been such a great toy in the 80s, to have this and have all the moving parts and everything. Have
Well,
the Skywire.
they have produced one for the Superpowers, the McFarlane line, and I do
Have
have it
they?
somewhere, but I
Oh
don't want to
yeah.
go and hunt for it because it's now dark in Scotland.
No, that's
But
okay. Is it does it have does it have like
it
some of
has a,
these
I'm pretty sure
aspects?
it's got a retractable wire. I'm pretty sure
Does it?
you can suspend them with it, and I think it can wind up as well. I think it's on a pull. So
Okay.
it's pretty
All right.
cool. Yeah,
Very cool.
it's it. I had to specially order it in from the States, because, and it's my pride and joy, and that's why
Awesome.
it's away somewhere safe out of view right now,
Yeah, that's okay.
so the children can't break it.
Right, that's okay. So he finds, I don't even think we even mentioned it, he finds a receipt of a warehouse rental in Chicago. So he's gonna go, he's heading over there. In the meantime, he's kind of looking up the story about Kronos.
He's doing
And
research, which is opposite of what I would do, but that's fine. And he
yes,
finds
that's
out
good.
that, again, it's the Atom. So the Atom fights Kronos regularly. So now he's got to figure out, well, Kronos is here. What am I going to do about it? And then there's this moment with the bug, which is
Yes.
absolutely insane, where
Yeah, it's great.
the whole body of the bug turns 90 degrees vertically, from a horizontal to vertical position. The pilot section at the front's fine, but the main body, now, but
Yeah.
that's where a lot of the people go. It's a big bug. There's a lot of
Yeah.
space at the back. So they're either tip 90 degrees or
Right.
and it's
Yeah.
like, why have you done that? And this is to get through two giant cooling towers at
Yes.
a chemical plant,
Which he
which is.
has, there's no reason for him to do that at all. I
No, he
mean,
could have
he's
flown
clearly
over the
just
top of
having
them.
fun. He could just flown over top, flown around them or
I don't
something.
even think he's
He wants to go
piloting.
in, he
I
wants
think
to go
that's
in
auto.
between. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
absolutely. But again, it's another sense of cool stuff, looking cool. And that's another reason I like Ted Kord, because
Yeah.
he had all the toys and better toys than Batman.
I'll hold it. I don't, Bug versus Batmobile, I have to think about,
Oh,
but
well,
I
yeah,
love the bug.
but
Yeah.
Bug versus the Batwing or anything like that, much at
Yeah,
stake.
no. I'll take the bug
Batmobile's in
over the
its own little
Batwing. Yeah.
world. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I do like is he's looking at Kronos's mugshot on his
Yeah.
computer. And let's give it up to Kronos. Again, bizarre costume, doesn't make any sense, especially the mask or anything. But
Yeah.
he's also a balding man. He's not bald
No.
completely. He's got the horseshoe pattern going.
He
He's got the
looks
hair
like
on the sides, and
he's a
everything.
Minbari from Babylon 5.
I have no idea who that is, but I'll take
Oh,
your
right.
word for
So
it.
Babylon 5, which is the greatest television series of all time, I'll just state my claim there, and
All
nobody
right.
can argue it'd be differently, has a race of aliens which have got which is a big bone structure, which basically looks like the shape of that one. There's on the side of their head going all the way to the back, and the rest of their head's bald. So he looks like,
Oh, okay.
I don't know if Joe Michael Straczynski saw that, and that's what he's in, or one of his team do, but that is the hairstyle. Only he's got hair, and Minbari, they've got it's a bone structure.
Gotcha.
People who've
Gotcha.
seen the show will know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't
Okay.
worry.
All right. Very good. So yes, and he notices, like you mentioned, that he's been a thorn in the side of the Atom, and vice versa. And there's a great shot of a newspaper that says Atom bombs Kronos again, and you have Kronos unconscious, and the Atom in his small stature is standing on top of Kronos, sort of doing a ta-da pose as he's defeated him again. So he's off to go to the warehouse. We cut back to Midtown Hospital again, and we're back with Melody, and she's back. I think this is even the same doctor. Isn't this the same doctor from the beginning? I think it is.
Looks similar.
He sort
There's
of had a
only three
unique look
doctors.
to him. No, man, I guess it is a different doctor. That the original doctor
No,
did
he's
not
got
have
glass.
a mustache. Yeah, it's a different doctor. Okay, good.
That's right.
So, and she's checking in on the young pickpocket who got hit by a truck. What happens next?
A very weird thing. She goes in to check in the pickpocket, who they've said, is very not stable. There's a good chance she won't last the night. She goes in, and then as she goes in, there's two men in yellow costumes, look futuristic, with and they take they've got the girl, and they've put her into a big green with glass casket, which looks not too dissimilar to the Kal-El rocket ship, but we don't need to go there. And then they produce a taser. Now, I
Right.
wouldn't even know tasers were a thing back then, but it turns out they were. They taser Melody, she falls to the ground, and then outside's the helicopter, which is now attached to the ground. It's got a rope coming down, or steel cable, wherever it's collecting this mobile coffin type thing, and the two men are climbing on top of it to be pulled up to the helicopter. Now, I could be wrong, but I would have thought you'd have heard the helicopter, but maybe it's got stealth technology. But
Right.
yes, so that's like, oh, ominous. We're going to find out what that is much, much later on, not in this rest of this issue.
All right, so and then we mercifully cut back to the Blue Beetle, who has gotten to the warehouse district, Chicago, enters the building. It's a huge warehouse. I don't know what Kronos is renting this from. I don't know what,
It's
but
a lot of money.
it's got clocks everywhere, and it's sort of got papers. It's a little disheveled. It's got boxes. It's got clocks of different sizes. They all have the same time, by the way, so at least they're all keeping the accurate time.
That is true.
Yeah.
I hadn't noticed that. That's that well spotted.
Yeah. So he's got a desk, and he's got papers everywhere, and he's got things in boxes, and he's got like some drafting tables and all this stuff. So he's working on something. And Blue Beetle sort of investigating. He sees an hourglass thing, which he assumes is some sort of nasty weapon. He's like, I wonder how this works. And then he hears the one of the
The
garage
shutters.
door type, open.
Yeah, big shutters opening.
Yeah, the big shutters open and leaps into behind some of the crates.
This is
As
my
what?
favorite sequence.
Yes, go ahead.
This is
What
my
happens next?
absolute freak save. So Cronus arrives in his giant flying sundial, which seems to have no sense of propulsion, even though it's got rockets that never seem to fire. He arrives, Blue Beetle's like, what's in his package? He's brought a package with him, it's under his arm. Some
Right.
sort of weapon, is it a bomb? Turns out it's a sandwich. That not only is it a sandwich, that this top secret bomb thing that the Ted Cord was worried about
Right.
that is actually a salt shaker,
Yeah.
which he then tips out to fake into to put onto his sandwich.
Yeah.
And the poor guy doesn't even get to eat his sandwich, because that's when Blue Beetle, pops up. Now, if it was me, I'd have waited till he had his mouth full.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
then arrive, because then you have, oh, what? What? And you can't respond. You've got
Right,
sauce
right.
falling down your hand. Your fingers are all slimy, but
Yeah, you're
Ted,
looking for a napkin, you're like, oh
except
God, look
Ted
at
decides,
this. Look at some
no,
of this.
let's we're gonna make this guy suffer. We're gonna make He's not gonna get his sandwich.
All right, now a couple of things about this page. One, like you said, he comes rolling in the sundial, just in this triumphant pose of this flying sundial, which you're right, doesn't show any sort of propulsion. It's moving forward, but all the jets are sort of pointing down and they're not firing. So we're not sure exactly how this thing flies. He's got this giant sandwich,
It's
just
a
looks like a
giant sub.
giant hoagie or giant sub.
Yeah,
Yeah.
sub, yeah.
He unwraps it in the weirdest way I've ever seen. It's like he's unwrapping a gift. He's sort of like he's tearing at the paper instead of just like unfolding it. He's like
Yeah.
tearing at this paper and puts the salt on the sandwich. Now, a couple things. One, he's eating the sandwich with his gloves on. Did you notice? If you notice, I don't know if you have you ever eaten a sandwich with gloves on? I don't know if you've ever done that before.
Not those sort of gloves. I have worn the gloves you work in a restaurant with,
Yeah,
or when
sure.
you're touching one. I have put gloves on because I was eating something that was very, very runny. I didn't get it all over my fingers,
Oh,
because I
okay.
was going to build Lego with it, build
Okay.
Lego later on, so I didn't have to wash my hands in between. But that's the only time. But
Very good.
that was if I
Very
clean
good.
the. No, why would you have gloves on? I mean, if you
No.
can't wash the gloves,
Yeah.
you've
Yeah.
not. Oh, it's just unhygienic.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, those gloves have got to be nasty by this point. And again, you can't get a full sense of the sandwich. It's a big sub, and you want to be able to hold the sub correctly so meat or sauce doesn't start falling out. And if you have gloves on, you're losing some of that too. But anyway, that aside, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
was just going to say the thing. He's about to eat it. He's not washed his hands. I mean, he's obviously a villain. If
Right.
anyone else on the planet was like, well, I'm going to wash my hands before I have something to eat. But no, he's too evil to do that. So, and it's his own fault, frankly, if anything happens to him.
It's got garlic, onion, pepperoni on there. So it's it must, I don't know if he's doing some sort of like Italian sub or something. He kind of stopped after that. It's got to have something on it besides pepperoni. It looks like maybe it has some ham and some cheese. Maybe something's dripping off that. So it's either a sauce or maybe a cheese or something like that. Anyway, the other first, you're right, though. It did kind of bother me that he interrupted it now, because I don't know if I was just hungry when I was reading this. I was like, I really want to eat that sandwich. Now, the other thing is the mask. The mask is, this is kind of the Mr. Miracle type mask. It's basically a mask that covers most of his face, I should say. But it covers his nose and mouth completely. But then his ears are out, and then it has cutaways, you know, so you can see his eye. So in other words, you can see his flesh around his eye area and his ears. So, you know, you could identify him as a Caucasian male by that part. You know,
yes,
you could see this.
Absolutely.
Why those are out. Everything else, including like his lips and everything, so does the mask like go inside his mouth? Like, how does this work? Is it, like you said, is it painted? But then why would it be open around the eye? It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
I'm thinking about him eating a sandwich with this mask halfway in his mouth, too. It's just,
it's just like, oh,
it's not working. It's not
working.
And
you have to say, his dental hygienist has done a fantastic job, because his teeth are absolutely white.
Yeah, they look.
There's
yes,
not a
they
sense
are.
Of stain.
It matches,
of, you know, what
yeah,
he's
they
been
match the mask
eating.
Completely.
Well done.
Good job.
Well done.
I'm glad. Again, Kronos, we're glad you're going to the dentist. We're happy about that, but I wish he would have gotten a chance to finish the sandwich.
But the thing is, it's almost 8 o'clock in this story.
Right.
That's the other thing.
Good point.
So the next stage is just about 2:07.
Interesting.
This is obviously dinner.
Yeah,
you
late
know, this
dinner
is his,
too.
You know,
this is a late dinner. Late dinner.
Yeah, this is a late dinner, and he must be hungry. I mean, no wonder he's a criminal. He must be hungry. And then, of course, the clocks all strike 12. You know, Blue Beetle, I've caught you now. He says, but you have not taken into account the time. And at 8 o'clock, all the clocks start ringing all through the place. So it's a bit like the Back to the Future bit where all the clocks kick off at the right at the beginning of the thing. And this deafens poor Ted Kord, at which point he then, Kronos then throws the salt shaker, which is now filled with some sort of, is basically a mini sandstorm. It creates some sort of power thing. But he also throws the sandwich.
Yeah, I know.
You've done
That's
all this work. So he's thrown the sandwich and then grabbed the salt shaker. You know, I mean, come on, man. You've just done all the effort to get the sandwich ready. And it's on the ground now. So he leaves that, and then he jumps, Kronos then jumps onto his sundial, and off they go, and the chase ensues.
Real quick on that. So you see, you know, Beetle kind of jumps from behind the boxes. He's sort of crouched. He's crouched on a box that's about like chest high for Kronos.
Yeah.
So he's sort of above him a little bit, and he's pointing his air. It's an air gun, is it not?
It's
Should we talk about the gun a little bit? It's compressed air, correct?
It's compressed air, and it's also send out a very strong light.
Okay. But, okay. So, yeah.
So it does two things.
Right. It's a non-lethal gun.
Non-lethal weapon.
So
another reason I like it.
Yes. Yep. And he's about, like, at this point, he's about, like, maybe half a foot away from Kronos. He's so close. If he did fire the compressed air, it's going to kill Kronos at that level. He's
pretty
so
much,
close
to
him. Yeah, he's gonna kill him. But, yes, then you see the clock strikes 12. It makes that huge noise. There's a great image of a full body image of Beetle covering his ears. You know, you can tell the artist did a great job of really portraying that the sound is really, really deafening him. And then you're right. And then the next panel, Kronos throws the salt shaker down, which also had sand in it, I guess.
Yep.
And at the same time, the sandwich is falling down. And you're right. It's a real bummer. I almost wish like there had been more of a reason for this fight. If Beetle had like shot the sandwich out of his hand or something like that, you know, and been like, my sandwich. Although then I think maybe I would have been on Kronos' side at this point. I halfway am anyway, because he didn't get to eat the sandwich. But
it's disgraced, terrible. Poor man. Yeah. I mean, he's all peely wally. Look at the man.
There you go. He is. Yep. He's certainly not Bonnie. So Kronos jumps back on his flying sundial. to
Stupidest
escape.
thing.
Of course, I guess apparently the door was still open. You'd think he would have closed that, but he heads out through the same door. What's Beetle doing? What's going on with the sand here?
This sand is created that it's basically the same way you would have in hourglass. It's the bottom half is so the sand has created some sort of sandstorm, miniaturized one. So it's giving Ted a lot of time. He's struggling to get out of it. He can't breathe properly. So what he does is he jumps up in the air and then uses his compressed air gun to blow apart the sandstorm, and it works. It works. And then, so he's next thing you know, he's lying on his back, and you can see behind him the sandwich is there behind him.
That's right. I did not notice
They
that.
kept
Oh, God, the sandwich is still
but
there.
we're not trying to suggest they do this, but that is brilliant continuity. It's like, oh no, we need to show we it's Chekhov's sandwich, frankly. Is they have to demonstrate what it happens to it. So that breaks apart the whole sandstorm thing. He's used his gun with the compressed air twice now, and then he runs, jumps, gets the skywire in, and he gets pulled up, and he's back into the beetle. And now he's chasing Kronos across the Chicago skyline, and it's just the stupidity of the flying sundial. Now, at 8 o'clock at night. Now, Chicago, it must be in the summer, so there might be a bit of sunlight, but not a huge amount. And Cronus is using his weapons to try and fight off the bug
Yeah, he's
and
using Roman candles. I'm
candles.
not sure why that would be a
Now,
okay,
yes.
please go
Now,
ahead.
Roman candles, there's two versions of Roman candles. One is the firework. I don't know if you've heard of that. But the
Yes.
other version, well, a firework, the Roman candle normally would fire off every so often. When you set up the fire, it goes thump, 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 because there's a gap in between them. And the idea is that they were used to measure time. So Roman candles in the traditional sense were they were candles that were marked. So when you burn them, you say, well, that's 1 hour gone, 2 hours gone, 3 hours gone as the candle wax away. But they are used in fireworks. So it's a clever use of the timekeeping element and the fireworks. So that's pretty good.
Oh, very good. Oh, well, thank you for telling me that. I wasn't aware of that. I was just thinking of his fireworks, and I wasn't sure why that would be a thing you'd have, but that makes a lot more sense. He's got a good chasing going on, and eventually, for some reason, Beetle, when Kronos is going sort of through a
He's going through
bridge
the
or
L.
going through the L, sorry, overhead bridge. Of course, it's an overhead bridge. Decides to jump out of the bug through the steel girders and has to time it, as he even mentions, precisely, or he'll kill himself. And it barely gets a hold. I don't know why he didn't just wait till Kronos came out of there, but
I
he
know.
decides to do it that way. He barely hangs on to the sundial, and then, so they start throwing hands on the flying sundial, at which eventually they crash down in Buckingham Fountain. And now, so Beetle's got the upper hand on him, but what happens? Because again, we have to remember this is a Legends crossover.
Crossover.
So what
Yeah.
happens?
Well, the crowd start the crowd. There's a massive crowd, obviously, for no apparent reason. Just
Right.
happened to be
Yes.
there. It's like it's 8 o'clock at night. It's like, okay, we're gonna hang around the fountain for reasons, and they start throwing. Well, it says it's not a spelt Coke, but you can see COK. But obviously, it's supposed to be a Coke can, but they're not using the official thing, and it's still got some Coke in it. So obviously, they're not a Scottish person because A, it would be an iron brew can, and B, we wouldn't throw away drinks. But anyway, so they throw that at Ted and say, "Oh, you're causing all this mess. They weren't the superheroes, and they don't want him around," and that distracts Ted enough because he's got his gun drawn, which is interesting. He's got his gun drawn left-handed. I'd forgotten that Ted was a left-handed shooter. There you go. And then Kronos takes advantage and shoots at him.
So let me ask you that. If he's left-handed, why does he have the holster on his right?
Well,
Does he do it reverse style? Does he have the handle in front?
I think the hand well the handle's normally in front, but I think they just forgot.
Oh, okay. All right, very good.
I think they just forgot when they were drawing it.
Gotcha.
So I always thought he was right-handed because I mean he uses it later on when he uses the next thing and it's right-handed, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
It's been a
He
while since I've
does.
double-checked
I
that.
mean, early on, he's got it in his left hand earlier too, when he goes into the warehouse. So
But
yeah, I
then
guess, yeah.
maybe he's using it in the same way you'd have a shield in your left hand and you'd have your big pike with the trident in the right hand to poke things.
Good point. Didn't think about that.
3 points there if it's a trident. But anyway, sorry. And we're just trying to backtrack all the things to the references we've already
It's
made.
all like you said, like I was saying, it all comes
It's all
together.
circular.
Absolutely.
All circular. Like time.
Yep,
And
exactly. Yes. Yes.
so Ted gets injured. He decides to have a they throw fists again, and this time he grab Ted picks up the Cronus' stop gun, which is the same thing stop clock, which is the same thing he used that Cronus used against his niece in the previous issue, which is when we start at the beginning. And so Ted freezes him, and then Ted runs away because he
Right.
has to wonder if it's he gets pulled up by Skywire into the Beetle, and that's it. That's the issue, and we've left in the point that. We've got this whole thing is why am I bothering if everyone hates me from
Yeah, I will give it the Kronos. He's quick to take advantage of situations, you know, because
yeah.
earlier he's kind of he's thrown his sundial, even if it meant sacrificing his sandwich. Here in the fight, you know, the
Yeah.
Beetle sort of got the upper hand on him twice, and both times he sort of slips away, and he eventually gets caught. But he does, you know, got to hand it
Yeah.
to him.
It's not
He's,
his first rodeo. I mean,
yeah, it's not, it's not.
he's fought a bunch of superheroes at this point. He's brought the
Yeah,
Atom. I think he's
that's true.
fought Hawkman as well. So he's a seasoned veteran.
Yep.
That's why he uses so much seasoning on his sandwich.
Again, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Again, you know, R.I.P. Kronos's sandwich. Sad. What did you think of the issue overall? This was fun, right?
I think it's a fun issue. I
Yeah.
think it's a lot of continuity. It's Len Wein who's doing the writing, so continuity is quite a big thing back in the new DC as after a crisis. It's well tied into Legends. You don't need to read Legends. You can pick up enough of what's happening in this issue that you might want to go and read Legends, but
Sure.
it doesn't. You don't have to. You need to see Legends. Issues 4 or 5 or to understand.
Right,
There's
right.
enough going on. I like the fact that it's a different artist because. I like Chuck Patton's art. He didn't. I don't think he did another issue of Blue Beetle. I'll have to double check that. But Paris Cullen's the when Bruce Patterson, as I said, they did the first 6 issues together and was fantastic. Then Del Paris came on and his inks. I don't think emphasized Paris's skill
Oh,
in the
interesting.
same way.
Okay.
I think it was a different combination. There's an I think it's issue 8 and 9 aren't. I think the ink's a bit too heavy. So this time around, you get Chuck Patton, who's a different. It's similar, but it's different to Paris. And I think
Right.
it has actually works. It's a great combination. And I think it shows, I think up until that point, the only people that had drawn Blue Beetle in that universe were George Perez and Paris Cullens. And now you can see, well, no, he's such an iconic costume, which I
Right.
think it is. I mean, it's very Spider-Man-ish. We all know that. It works really well. And I thought this was a fun story set in
Yeah.
a much wider thing with enough humor for us to get it, but at the same time still quite serious. I mean, but it doesn't throwing the humor at you. It's pointing out the fact like he's breaking into and it's the woman across the street that reports him.
Right,
That I
yeah.
find that hilarious because he's so stupid he didn't think of it.
Right,
And so it's
yeah.
that kind of humor. And of course it sets stuff up for the future with, that mugger being dragged away secretly, which is a death's door. Why would that be happening? So yeah, I mean
Yeah, they're
the
moving
Cronus,
along the B and C plots of
yeah.
everything, you know,
Exactly. So
as they,
it's
yeah.
a, when I read this, I don't think I got issue 11 for many years after because it was newsstand and I didn't get them all. But I know the next issue, I think it's got with the Titans showing up, and Nick and
Yeah.
issue after that's Titans. So they're trying to keep things going while other stuff's going on, which is important in an ongoing. So I thoroughly enjoyed this issue. I thought it was a great laugh, and I thought the art was fantastic.
Yeah, Chuck Patton is great. By the way, I'd be remiss as a company man to mention, now it'll already be out by the time this drops. In fact, I think it drops as we're recording tomorrow. But I think Chuck Patton is going to be a guest on the Who's Who podcast.
Yes,
So
I heard
that
that.
should be really interesting. But
Yes.
you know, so if you haven't by the time future people, by the time this comes out, if you haven't listened to that one, you should go back and listen to it. I'm
Yeah,
sure
and I'd
it's
just like to
going
point
to be
out
a great listen.
I picked this issue well before that announcement was
Yes, you
made.
did. Yes, you
So
did.
obviously,
Solid symmetry. Yep.
solid symmetry. It's just how things will
Yeah.
happen sometimes.
Again, it all comes together, as we've said many times. I like Blue Beetle. He's a lot of fun. He's a fun character. He's fun when he has his gadgets. I'll be honest, I kind of like this version of him. I like him sort of solo. I enjoy him in the Justice League. I thought at times maybe he was played as too much of a clown. I think, you know,
Yes.
those guys tended to do that on occasion, get a little carried away, the cooey 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 thing and stuff. And
Yeah.
it's funny to an extent, but then it's just like, well, you basically made this guy into a, you know, a laughing stock, into a punchline. And it's almost like you
Yes.
can't take the character seriously.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was great while it lasted and it worked well, but the problem is that occasionally they would give a more serious storyline, which did work well. But I always feel that a lot of people forgot how good the Solo book was in terms of just he's a proper hero. And that's why when Countdown came along, Countdown to find where Ted gets killed, that really hit, because I'm like, you've got this great character and you've just thrown him away. But then we got Jaime Reyes, and I love Jaime Reyes, so I'm
I was
like,
going to ask your thoughts on him, what you
it's
thought
like,
of Jaime
oh
Reyes.
man, Jaime Reyes is a great character, it's a great concept. It's what they did, Keith Giffen and John Rogers did with coming up with that concept, and the Curly Hammer art, because they Curly Hammer. I'm like, oh yeah. And so what happens much later on, I think it's whenever they bring him back, Ted is still around and Jaime is still around. And Ted actually is trying to, be a mentor to Jaime, because Ted's got to come back because he's got his heart condition and all the rest of it from. And that's the world I want to enjoy Blue Beetle. I like having multiple Blue Beetles. I like having Ted Kord and Booster doing their stuff. And I also like Jaime doing his stuff. And I like them to be a bit of a combination between the pair of them.
Well, and the way it works too with the two Blue Beetles is they're completely different. It's not like Jaime Reyes took over Ted Kord's costume and became the
No.
new Blue Beetle.
No.
It's a completely different, I'd say, power set. Ted Kord doesn't have powers, but completely different look.
Yeah.
There are some similarities. Obviously, they're both blue and everything like that. But yeah, it's completely different. So you can have both of them existing at the same time, and it doesn't seem superfluous. It doesn't,
And that is why I love the Blue Beetle movie. I mean, first of all, there was a Blue Beetle movie. How
That
the
was
heck did
fun.
that happen? And yet they had Ted Kord referenced in it. They had the bug, they had Jaime, and it all worked because it just there was no competition between them.
And the young actor who played him, who a lot of people probably know from Cobra Kai, he was one of the
Yes.
main characters in Cobra Kai, who was a lot of fun. From what I understand, he is still exists in the James Gunn universe, is what we're told. So
From
we could see him again, or hopefully we will.
I'm hoping that we're going to get a middle-aged Ted Kord with Jaime being the main guy, and Ted Kord, I don't know, maybe 51, born 19 mid 70s, maybe slightly older than that. I don't know, maybe the Scottish accent. I am available for this and children's parties, and have him, and then you have flashbacks to what he was doing. So I think you can have an older Beetle, and I'm hoping that's what we're going to see in James Gunn's universe, that we can still have Ted Kord really
You could
needed,
do
but.
something very similar like what they did in Ant-Man, where they
Yeah,
had Hank
something
Pym, but he was already retired and everything. And that worked well. It worked
that
well.
would be lovely. So fingers
Absolutely.
crossed.
Yep.
Fingers crossed.
Anything else you want to say about Blue Beetle?
So Blue Beetle, I always associate with being a fun, clever guy who likes redheads, because he did have a big, yeah, he had a massive crush on Barbara Gordon. And I always feel like
I was reading
he
the
and
Birds
Barbara
of
Gordon
Prey
should have
at
been
that
together.
time,
They
yeah.
should. Dick Grayson, no, sorry, Barbara
Really?
Gordon belongs with Ted. And I've always said that what they should have done is when they brought Batgirl back as Batgirl, there was an obvious solution to put Ted in as Oracle.
That's true. That's true.
Computer guy, genius level, just put him in, just replace, make him the new Oracle. He keeps his job. She goes off, becomes Batgirl. No need to kill him off. But, Geoff Johns, eh?
Yeah,
God.
Jeff Johns. All right. Well, very good. Well, that was a fun issue. It was a fun talk. So, but I believe Doug, it's last call. So now
Yeah,
in
it's
this
quite
segment,
late.
it is getting late. I can tell by behind you. It's
Yeah, it's dark
very
now.
dark. This is last call in this segment. I asked my insightful guest, Doug, some thought-provoking questions that came to me as I prepared for this show. I asked the questions. Doug fascinates us with his answers. Now, as
Wow.
always, I have given Doug the first two questions in advance so he could think about them. We all know how much time Doug likes to take preparing for things and doing his
None.
research. And then the last one is a mystery fantastic question. So, fantastic question number one. If you had a multiple purpose hourglass that was a weapon on one end and a spice or condiment dispenser on the other, what would it contain?
Well, it's not technically a condiment.
Mm-hmm.
Grated
Oh,
cheese could
grated
come out the,
cheese. Okay.
yeah, come out, make it look
Very
like
good.
ketchup and mayo. I thought about. I'm not a big fan of mustard, but if you could just, when you turn, you twist a tiny, just twist it and cheese comes out.
Like a
I'd be,
Parmesan or just
yeah,
any cheese. Okay. Just
any
any
cheese will
cheese.
do.
Interesting.
Any
Okay.
cheese will do. I'd be up for that. I think that'd be a brilliant idea.
Wonderful.
That's what I
Okay.
would do. Don't technically a condiment, but depending on where you come in the world, it probably does the job.
Hey man, sure, a question. I
As long
accept
as it's
it.
not that spray cheese. Oh my God, that's just plastic. It's frightening, that stuff.
Like Cheese Whiz? Think about that stuff that comes out of the mouth.
I believe it's called Cheese Whiz. It's in a pressurized can, and it's just
Well, don't talk to people who like Philly cheesesteaks with that, because that's what they use a lot
Is
of
that the
times.
cheese they
They
use?
use
I
the
use.
cheese
I
whiz,
thought they
yeah.
used. Oh right, I thought they used
A lot,
special.
yeah, a lot of places will use the cheese whiz and stuff like
I
that.
take it back because I love a Philly cheesesteak.
That's
It's my. It's one of my most favorite American meals I will ever that I ever cook at home. But
awesome.
I use Monterey Jack cheese when I do it at home.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Now, do you have a weapon for the other end of it, or is it just cheese?
I like the concept of the air dust gun. So
Yeah.
the gun from Ted Kord. So I'd have air firing out at one end because that would clear the dust away, and then you can have your so you put your cheese in your food. It's a great idea, this.
That's a great idea. I like it. I like it. All right, very good. All right. Well, fantastic question number two. Name your top 10 blue things.
Well, this is a bit annoying for you, I'm sure. So it's Blue Beetle 1, Blue Beetle
Right.
2, Blue Beetle 3. So that's the first three done.
That's three.
The Scottish flag, the
Okay.
Scottish rugby top, which is also blue.
All right.
Beyond that, my Blue Beetle hoodie, which is number six.
Okay.
After that, there's a comedian that I used to like called Bob Bonkhouse, who could go very blue, and his comedy blue comedy was hilarious. But we can't
Very
discuss
good.
that because I can't do any of his jokes. He's actually a household name, but long story. So what
Gotcha.
are we up to? Seven.
Seven, yeah.
Seven. I've got a blue I've got a Blue Beetle bug toy, so
All
we're up
right.
to eight. I've
Eight.
got a Blue Beetle figure, which is up to
Ah.
nine. And then after that, I was gonna produce this, but I don't know where I've put it. My friend made me a Tron bike. If you remember the Tron
Yeah.
movies, the very first Tron, the blue he made all the colors. He made me a Tron bike with a 3D printer, and it's absolutely fantastic,
Wow.
and I love that. So I'm going to see if I can find it to show you.
Okay.
Here we are.
Oh, wow. That's really
Yeah,
cool.
it is. So I've got three colors, and I've got the blue ones, and I know the blue ones are the bad guys, but that was
Ah,
that.
still,
So there you go.
that's a really nice blue. I like that. I like that. It's kind of a Blue Beetle blue too.
It is.
It
It's
is.
quite a
Yeah.
dark blue.
Yeah. Very
Yeah.
good. Nice. All right. Very good. All right. Mystery fantastic question. And this is a pretty easy one. You probably saw this coming. How did you become an NFL fan, and specifically a Miami Dolphins fan? I must know.
Okay, right. Well, first of all, have you ever heard of the concept of a lock-in in a pub? It's when
Sort
they're not
of. I
allowed.
assume you just, yeah.
It's
Yeah.
a
Yes.
Scottish.
Yes.
It's
We used
an
to
English
do
thing, Scottish
those.
thing.
We used to
Yeah.
do a version of that in our fraternity where it's
So you're not
basically
supposed to be
locked
serving drinks, but we could be here a while.
in.
So they
Yeah.
lock all the doors, and they're not officially open, and nobody can come in, and nobody can
Right.
come out. But they keep serving, right? So this could take a bit. When I was born in Edinburgh, but my father worked for the Inland Revenue, which is the equivalent of the IRS.
Okay.
And because of that, we got moved around the United Kingdom quite a bit when I was quite young. So we first moved to a place called Whitley Bay, which is near the town, city of Newcastle. And then we moved to a town called Nottingham, which you may have heard of from everything for Robin Hood. So I started school, and my first year of school was in Nottingham. And then I moved up to the town of Dumfries because that was in Scotland. So I moved back to Scotland for the. When I arrived at the school, all the kids wanted to know which football soccer team I supported. It's a bit tricky, but I'll mention it. It was a Catholic high school. It's a Catholic primary school. And in Scotland, there are one Catholic team and one particularly Protestant team. That's Rangers and Celtic. You may have heard of them
Yeah,
in
okay.
Scotland. And my mother is Protestant, my father is Catholic, which was quite a big thing when they got married. A lot of people were surprised they would do that, but they've made it work for over 50 years, 55 years actually. So, hats off to them. So I arrived at the primary school, and everyone's like, "Well, what football team do you support?" Because they were trying to start a fight, because that's what kids do. Because,
Right.
and I would say to them, "Oh, I didn't know." So I'd say, "I'll have to check." So I'd go home and ask my mom and dad. And my mom and dad said, "Well, they're going to ask you if you support Rangers or Celtic." I said, "Well, I don't care. I don't like this sport at all." "Yeah, I know, but just go back and tell them you like support Nottingham Forest because you lived in Nottingham." "Right, I'll do that." "Went back." "Oh, they're an English team." So right. So next day, I'd like, "Well, what's the team in the town?" "Queen of the South. That's the team. We'll go and tell them that's the Dumfries team." "Going, oh, nobody supports them. They're the local team. Oh, they're rubbish." "No, you've got to choose Celtic or Rangers." And I'm like, "I don't want to." He said, "No, you've got to. It's the rules." So I was getting bullied at school about this. And I managed to push them off for a while, and they kept saying, "Your mum's Protestant, so you're a Rangers supporter. But your dad's Catholic. You've got to choose." And I was like, "I didn't want to do this." But there's a great antagonism between Rangers and Celtic fans. If you ever follow the sport in Scotland, it's always caused problems. We went on holiday to Florida in 1983. It was the wish of my grandmother to take me to Disneyland, but she died, and some of the inheritance money was used to do this. So we flew with Pan Am. That's how long ago this was. Pan
Mm
Am. I meant, my God. Pan Am. So we took a train down to London. We stayed in London. We then flew out from Heathrow and we went to Washington, D.C. I think it was Dulles. I can't be
Dulles,
certain.
probably Dulles, yeah, at that
But
time.
we didn't get off the plane at that point. What they did is they decamped people that were getting off at that point, and they all went off. And then we flew down to Miami. This is 1983. Now, you remember the draft of 1983 included who?
Dan
Quarterback?
Marino, yeah.
Dan Marino, John Elway, all the rest of it.
Don't
So,
know why, yeah, some other
Todd
Todd
Blackledge, I
Blackledge,
think.
I was gonna say,
Yeah.
Ken O'Brien,
Ken
there's
O'Brien. There
some
were
other
six
guys,
quarterbacks taken. Dan Marino was the last one. Sorry, folks, I do know my football history.
yeah. Do you remember
So,
why he was the last one taken, even though he
because
was
he,
the
everyone suspected he would fail the drugs test, but he
Yeah, they
didn't.
thought he was a cokehead.
He wasn't. Dan, I love Dan, but he's a football player. He's not the smartest guy on the planet. He can. I always remember the story was that Dan. They asked Dan, so in this play here, who do you throw to? He says the open guy. And they went, no. We're showing you how. He says, no. I'll just when I'm on the field, I'll spot it because he just had that spark. He
Yeah,
could
he was
find
a
an open.
savant. Yes, he
He was
was
a
a
savant
football.
more than a. He learned the game, but he was a savant more than the Tom Bradys of this era. So anyway, we're in Miami. It's roasting hot. We've never experienced heat like this in our lives. We're Scottish. We're melting. In the afternoon, we're watching some TV, and they're talking about the fact that the Miami Dolphins are really excited. The local news that Dan Marino was coming to town. He was going to tour the facilities, etc. I'm like, who's this guy? What are the Miami Dolphins? I had no idea. I started to find out. I read up a bit about it. I said, you know what? I know about Miami. I know this is it. They won't, when I get back to school, if I say my favorite team is the Miami Dolphins, they will have no idea. Smart kid me. Now, ironically, then on that trip, we flew into Miami, drove up from Miami to Orlando, Orlando to Tampa, and flew out from Tampa. Had we gone the other way and landed in Tampa, I'd have celebrated a Super Bowl victory in my lifetime. Bit annoying, but there you go. Two,
Two of
oh God,
them,
yeah, that's even worse. So we get home to Scotland, school term starts a couple of weeks later, and it's like, right, so have you made your choice? Yeah, Miami Dolphins. I went, what? I said Miami Dolphins, they play football. I sort of knew they played football, but I didn't know what the difference between American football and football was, so I just had no idea, or soccer. And they were completely confused, and then they started asking me questions. I'm like, well, I've got to figure this out now. So then I had to go to the library to find a book about American football, which I had to order in specially from the library to read up about it. And this was just as American football was becoming really popular in the UK, and it started appearing on Channel 4, an occasional shot. So suddenly I was the kid that knew everything about American football. And being the kid that I am, I was like, well, I better learn about it. So I just learned everything I possibly could. And I fell in love with the Miami Dolphins and Dan Marino and what Dan
That's
Marino
awesome.
did and all the rest of it. So that's how I ended up being an American football fan. That's how I ended up being a Dan Marino fan and the Miami Dolphins. And I
Wonderful.
have regretted it ever since because it could have been worse. It could have been the Browns, but come on.
Yeah, could have been a
Yeah.
Browns, could have been a Jets fan,
Oh,
it
no,
could
I
have
hate
been
the
worse.
Jets. Absolutely hate the Jets.
One of my closest friends is a lifelong Miami Dolphins fan as well. So
Oh,
so he sh he
please send
shares
him
your pain.
please send him my commiserations.
I will.
We're
I
going through
will.
it. We've been going through it for a long time. Ever since the Jimmy Johnson era. Oh, what was a
So
terrible ass game. Anyway, yeah.
today, when I say today, I mean just currently. Do you watch like how do you watch do you watch all the games? Do you just try to watch Dolphins games? Like
Right.
things like
Well,
that?
I'll tell you about the NFL bit in a second. I want to talk about how involved I got in American football or in, so in the UK, American football took off, and then in 1996, the World League of American Football, sorry, 1995, the World League of American Football, which is controlled by the NFL, relaunched after having a team in London, which was London Monarchs, the Barcelona Dragons of Frankfurt Galaxy, and they relaunched, and this time they had a team in Edinburgh called Scottish Claymores. So I got really involved with them. I was writing for the fanzine. I was involved in all these sorts of things. And then from there, I got involved in trying to resurrect a team in Edinburgh because there used to be a lot of, you would call them semi-pro, but there was no money. Amateur teams all across the UK. At one point, there was 120 different teams playing American football. Yeah. So I started getting involved in resurrecting a team in Edinburgh and we played flag football to start with. And then we decided we'd a bunch of other people. And I knew I have no talent for playing football. I have an ability to fall. If I'm given a ball to carry, I can carry it and I can do. I was pretty jinxy and I could grow pretty quick, but I can't fall forward. I've never been able to throw myself forward. It's something that's just completely an alien to me. It's really bizarre. So I couldn't put my hands out and dive for a catch. If somebody tackles me, I'm going to hit the ground, but it's just bizarre. So I could never play defense either. So I could play offensive, two places I could play, running back and offensive line. That was about it. So I got involved with this. I met my wife because she came up from, she was living in London at the time, but she was from Frankfurt. And she came up to Frankfurt Galaxy Scottish Claimers game in 1999. We hit on a house, like a house on fire. She decided she wanted to move to Edinburgh because it was a lovely place. So that's how that happened. And then after that, when we created the new team, I went to the meeting and we all said, and everyone said, "But you're shit." And I went, "Yeah, I am. Sorry, you'll let me have to bleep that out. But I know what I'm doing." And I was made the general manager without, there's no
Oh,
vote.
that's
It was just like,
awesome.
I was general manager. So I basically founded with seven other people the American football team, the Edinburgh Wolves, that ran for about 20 odd years in Edinburgh.
That's
Through
wonderful.
that, I was then, because we did such a good job of how the team was set up, I was then asked to be on the board of the national governing body. I was then invited to be the league. So I ended up, just before I retired from the sport completely, as the chairman of the British League. So yeah, so I know my sport, I know American football. So that's all being said, I live, sleep, and breathe the NFL when it's NFL season, because it's, I pity the Americans. I do. I really do. Our first game is a 1 o'clock kickoff where you are. That's in the afternoon. You've got stuff to do. You've got, oh, for us, 6 o'clock in the evening. 6 o'clock in the evening. Now, if we're normally, with the way the TV packages are, we get a game at six, we get a game at nine. So we've got two games live, and we always get two games live these days. Now, you got sometimes where you guys are, you might only get one game on Fox and one game on CB, it's NBC,
It depends on a
CBS.
lot of the Fox has the NFC package.
Yeah, there you go.
CBS has the AFC package, but
Yeah,
then
and then
also
NBC's
NBC has Sunday
Sunday
night,
night. Well,
ESPN has Monday night, you
yeah.
have Amazon has Thursday
Yeah.
night,
Well,
and then,
here's how it
things
goes
get
for us.
twisted.
So we've now got another situation that Sky, which is Sky Network, will show can show two games. Channel 5, because the peaks and troughs of the popularity in the UK have gone up and down. We used to get games that are like a week delayed, and we didn't know what the scores were, and we would be watching it. It's like, oh, this is amazing, and then discover it was like last week's game. But now 6 o'clock in the evening, Sunday night, it's 9 o'clock. Normally, there's two games on. I can flip between channels if I'm not using the NFL Sunday Ticket equivalent. Then, if a game I really want to watch, we've got the Sunday night game that kicks off at 1 o'clock in the morning. Then you've got Monday night if you want to do it. And if you're doing it right, you can normally get the Thursday night game as well. Depending, so there has been weeks where I have watched five games live plus flipping into other games in between. In fact, there was one year that it was horrendous because with the CFL on one channel, we had college football on another channel, and with the NFL. And I honestly watched 10 games that weekend, and I cannot tell you who was playing who. I'm convinced the Lions were playing the Crimson Tide in Ottawa.
That's funny. Well, that's awesome because you sound like a real NFL pervert like I am. That's great stuff. So we have something. We have an NFL package here. There's a couple things you can do. You can do one that you can get all the games.
Yep, Sunday, the old
The
Sunday
Sunday
ticket.
ticket. It's called some. I think it's called something else now.
They've
I
changed the
don't do
name.
that. I usually do Red Zone.
Oh yeah, oh, we
If
know
you're
Red
familiar with
Zone.
Red Zone, I do
Yeah,
Red
7 hours
Zone,
of
and then
commercial. Ah,
I
not
can get
anymore.
enough through streaming. I can get enough of the
Yeah.
other games. The Eagles play a lot of primetime games, so I'm able to see them a
Yeah.
lot anyway. Plus, they are because they're in the NFC East. I live in the Washington, D.C. area. So, like, if Washington isn't on at that time, a lot of times they'll show the Philadelphia game. They'll show either them or the
Yeah.
Cowboys or somebody else in the NFC East. Or, of course, they play Washington twice a year too, so I don't have to worry
Yep,
about
so
that.
you're recovered.
I get to see pretty much all the games anyway without getting the ticket. I love the NFL too. I was just fascinated that somebody in Edinburgh was such a big NFL fan. I was just great. Now, the last question I'll ask you about this. Have you been to any of the international games that when the NFL has come over?
I have, let me think. I've been to three games in London. I've been to
Oh,
the do I
wow.
went to I went to the opening Dolphins game against the Giants, which, funnily enough, I didn't get tickets for. I had to call in a favor from the head of NFL UK, who I knew at the time, to say, "Look, I've not got tickets. I should have had tickets." Because what happened was, they asked, and everyone put in the ballots, they said, "What team do you support?" And everyone that said Dolphins got first dibs in the tickets, and I didn't get the invite, and we still don't know what happened. So I mentioned this at a British American Football Conference, and the head of the NFL UK, who I knew from Scottish Claymore's years, said, "Right, I'll sort you out." So I went to that game. I went to, that was the year that the Giants went to the Super Bowl. Dolphins went 1-15. Great year. Great year. I think Cleo Lemon was the starting quarterback in that game.
Oh my
Oh dear.
gosh.
But yeah, that's how bad we were. So I've been to that game. I then went to, I think the Dolphins played the Jets in London. I've been to that game, and
Okay.
I've been to the Dolphins Raiders game as well.
Okay. All
So
right.
I've been to three. I
Yeah.
have been to other games in the States though.
Oh, okay.
I saw Miami play Buffalo. So I saw Dan in person, which was one of my highlights. So Dan play and beat Buffalo at home and won a Monday night game on my birthday, many years ago. My dad had to drive me because I wasn't old enough to drive hire a car. It was hilarious. I could drive, but I didn't have a I couldn't get the insurance. I've been to a game at Tampa versus the Giants. Don't know why. I think it's because my wife is a football fan, and we were happened to be when we went to Tampa. Have you ever been to the Tampa Bay Stadium?
I have not, no,
Have
with
you ever
the
noticed? Have you ever seen pictures of the
with the
Tampa Bay
pirate
Stadium?
ship, yeah,
The
they have
pirate
a so
ship, it's amazing. But
yeah.
you'll also notice that all the seats are bright red. Bright red. Now, if you're a Scottish person that's not used to the sun and you have brought the wrong level of suntan lotion, you too can sit look like a seat in Tampa Bay after 3 hours.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
It was awful. I've seen Miami at Minneapolis, and on the same trip, I got to Green Bay and managed to get a player cut. Which you might want to cut out. I'll quickly tell you this one. So there's a guy that played for the Claymores because of NFL development players, and a guy called Barry Stokes. In his first year with us, was shockingly poor, and his nickname was Turnstile. But after he got by the end of the season, our head coach was an offensive line coach as well, and he got a lot better. So he came back the second year, and he was much improved. He then went on to play a journeyman offensive lineman in the NFL, played for like five or six teams. I think he actually might have won a Super Bowl with the Giants. I can't quite remember. But we were in Green Bay. I had a bit of prestige. I'd done media for the NFL in Europe and the UK, and not a huge bit. So we're in Green Bay on vacation with my wife, and I go to Green Bay offices because I'm Scottish. I'm an idiot. I said, "Hi, I'm from Europe. Can we interview one of your NFL Europe players?" And I went, "Yeah, sure. You could never do that now.
No,
You just
no,
rock up."
no.
And we'd done the Green Bay tour, the stadium and all the rest of it. And they said, "All right." And there was a guy called Bill Schrader who had played in NFL Europe, and we were hoping to get him, but he didn't show up. Out walks this guy that I didn't even know was on the team, was Barry Stokes. It's like, and he remembered me from Scotland. It's like, "Doug." It's like, "Barry, I haven't seen you." So we chatted away and interviewed and recorded. So we're doing a crazy as this sounds, a podcast in 2001 or 2000, 2001 about American football. I've done podcasting far longer than anybody else in your network has ever done.
I'm
That's
sure.
how old, that's how far the curve I was doing. At the end of the talk, I go back and speak to the media guy and say, "Sorry, thanks very much. That's great. That's great coverage. We spoke to Barry. That's brilliant. And it's great to see Barry's doing so well because I remember how bad he was when he started." I went, "What?" I said, "Oh, he was terrible. Have you not seen the game tape? Oh my God. We nicknamed him Turnstile for the first year. Second year, night and day, he got his shit together. He was amazing." I went, "Really? He was that bad?" He said, "He was really that bad that first year. But that's why the NFL Europe works. He got trained up. He got better. Brilliant." So the next morning, we're still in Green Bay because I still have to drive down to Chicago to go home. And I'm reading the waiver wire. Green Bay transactions cut. Barry Stokes.
Oh,
And I'm saying to my wife, "We need to get out of town now because there's only one Scottish guy in town. And if he finds out that I told them to look at the game tape from 3 years ago when he sucked, we're dead."
that's funny. So last thing I'll tell you, speaking of the Dolphins and my good friend Ray, who's actually been on this podcast, he's the
Yes.
big Dolphins fan. I took him, so my family's had season tickets to the Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles,
Oh,
since I was
wow.
about 13 years old. I took him to a game one year. This was the early 90s, and it was an Eagles Dolphins game. And this is right around the time when a bunch of the Eagles ended up on the Dolphins. Keith Jackson, Keith Byers, some other
Yeah,
guys.
I remember
And a
that.
bunch of Jets ended up with the Eagles. It was not a good time for the Eagles. They
No. Was that
Ken
the cat?
O'Brien was the quarterback that day.
Oh God, that was after Randall
And
Cunningham then.
the quarterback for the Dolphins was Scott Mitchell. This is because Dan
I
Marino
love
got
Scott.
it, was injured. This is the year he blew out his Achilles or whatever.
Yes, I love Scott Mitchell.
This was the game that the Dolphins won, and it was the game that Don Shula's record-breaking
Yes.
win as a coach, and they carried.
Yeah.
My friend still brings it up to this day. They carried Don Shula off the field at Veterans Stadium,
Yeah.
because this was the big win
You broke
for
the
him. I was
record.
just like,
Do you know the
and
best
my
part of
friend
that?
was in heaven. He's
Do you know
just
the
like,
best part of that story is? I know about that game. I know that game very well.
yeah.
Scott Mitchell didn't finish that game. He got injured.
Oh, that's right. You know who came in? Doug Peterson. Doug
A
Peterson
dog
finished it.
delivered
Yes,
Don
yes.
Shula's winningest game.
And it all came full circle again because Doug Peterson later became the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles and
He
was the
did.
head coach when they won their first Super Bowl
He
in
was, and he was the
2018.
head
So,
coach that I wanted the Dolphins to sign because I reckoned he was a fantastic. He played in NFL Europe as well, if I remember
You're
correctly,
100%
as
right.
did
Yeah,
Scott
Doug.
Mitchell.
Scott Mitchell got hurt either in that. I think he started the game but got hurt or something like that. They put in Doug Peterson. Yes, you're 100%
Yes.
right. Yes, Doug
I love
Peterson was the
so
the.
you were at that
So
game.
we were at that game. Yes,
Oh,
we were at that
I feel
game.
touched by greatness
So
now.
anyway, all right. Well, listen. I think it's about closing time, or we could go on for
Yep.
another hour about
We
the
could go,
NFL.
and maybe we should do
So.
that at a later time,
Yeah,
another
maybe
a
we'll
part
do
of
an NFL
an
podcast or
NFL
something. Hey, I'm
podcast.
game, man. I would do one.
I'd be up for
I would
that.
do one. So listen, I can't thank you enough. Thank you for staying up late and doing this. Where can people find you?
Well, people can find me and my other Doug, which you'll understand if you listen to it, is on the Monitor Tapes podcast, which is a Crisis on Infinite Earths podcast. I think we've got to do that by law. Dave will hit me very hard. So I do that with DC Dave, who you've already had on the show, and we talk about Infinite Crisis in a way that's a bit weird because, like, this is a magazine show format. We're very similar, so we've just going to be releasing this week, which is obviously in the future from where we are right now. When you release, time travel's weird. We're going to be covering issue 4, and we've been going for over a year and a half. So we're not going in chronological. We're not doing an issue system.
No.
We're not doing an index show. We are doing topics that come up with our mind. So, for instance, I think we're planning on doing a story about Supergirl and Supergirl in the Crisis to tie in with the Supergirl movie coming out. So that's the sort of thing we do. We have incredibly stupid comedy all the way through the show, normally me making very bad quips. And then I also write really stupid stories that we've fitting around it because I'm an idiot.
It's a really fun show. I enjoy it. So please listen. You should give it a
And I
listen.
should still point out that that's part of the Brit Crisis Network, and we do have other stuff. We have other irons in the fire we're working on, and I'm hopefully going to be doing a show about Lego because that's why it's called Brit Crisis, the network. I'm involved in running the biggest Lego show in Scotland. In fact, I'm technically the lead organizer, but there's a team of 4 of us, and I take point, but the other people support me, and then we have like
Wow.
150 people volunteering and displaying.
Wow,
We've
that's
just had a big
incredible.
show last
And
month.
you build things yourself as well for the shows or no, or you
Not
used
a
to
huge
or
amount. I'm not the most talented builder. It's a bit like American football. I'm not the greatest plan. I'm not the greatest person at the sport, but I'm really
Right.
good at the organization.
Well, good. That's
And
wonderful.
that just comes. So we have from 5,000 people come over 2 days to the show.
Wow. That's great.
And we'll be raising around, I think we're going to be announcing roughly from about £23,000 going to charity. Because we don't
Wow,
get
that's
paid for it, but
wonderful.
that's a policy at all.
That's
So
terrific.
in US dollars, that's probably about, let's say 30, remember 30, 32,000.
Good for you. That's wonderful. That's great. That's great. Good to hear. All right. All right. Well, again, Doug, thanks for being on the show, man.
This has been
I
it.
know it's just about bedtime, so I'm gonna let you go.
Almost. And
And
I'm glad I didn't have an alcoholic drink.
yeah,
I'd be
you
like,
yeah, I yeah, we don't want that.
oh,
Yeah, we don't
yes.
want that. All right. Well, thanks again. And we will be right back.
Justice League International, Bwahaha Podcast, a monthly show chronicling the adventures of the JLI era by Keith Giffen and JMD Mateus. We started with the very first issue, and our coverage goes all the way through breakdowns. We're going issue by issue in release order, tackling 2 comics per episode, both a Justice League America issue and a Justice League Europe issue. Now, along the way, we're also taking time out for special episodes covering the quarterly book, interviews with various comic book creators, discussing the plethora of spin-off series, cartoon appearances, the infamous TV pilot, and more. And when we're all done, we'll wrap up our coverage by looking at the 2003 and 2005 stories formerly known as the Justice League, and I can't believe it's not the Justice League. So join me in an ever-changing roster of guest hosts as we celebrate your favorite JLI members, such as
Batman, Martian Manhunter, Captain Atom.
Fire.
Ice.
Rocket Red.
The Flash.
The Elongated Man.
Maxwell Lord.
Elrond.
Power Girl.
Renard Russe. I mean, Crimson Fox.
Guy Gardner.
Metamorpho.
Booster Gold.
Blue Beetle.
Nort.
Justice League International Bwahaha Podcast. Part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Want to make something of it?
And we're back. Here is the feedback from episode 19 with John Stibe featuring the Beast and a blue vodka cocktail. FW Godfather, host of Fade Out, and the Fantastic Lounge regular Rob Kelly says, I was hoping we could get through a whole podcast without mentioning Shag's feet. Oh, John, you sweet summer child. Is the Beast the ultimate sports reference coming in? Utility player? He was a member of the X-Men, the Avengers, the Defenders, and the Champions. A lot of other heroes have three of those teams on their CV, but not all four. Related, it's interesting that the Beast was the only X-Man that Marvel deemed worthy of a solo feature outside the one X-Men title. Those Avengers pages made my head hurt in a good way. They're so detailed. Perez must have an enormous concentration to hunker down and draw all those people in all that detail when he doesn't always have to. Great episode as always. Thanks, Rob. Gothos Mansion, who's becoming a regular here, says, this run has recently been reprinted in an omnibus. The splash page for 167 stuck right in my head. Lots of great art in the omnibus in addition to Perez, but he's my favorite of the bunch. I can think of a couple of occasions where the Wasp wore clothes that didn't shrink and cheesecake ensued. The Aladdin Effect and Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, issue 105 come to mind, thanks to Mike's Amazing World, since I don't remember that issue number right off my head. Kind of off the subject, but I bought a Wonder Woman adult coloring book a few years ago. I don't color myself, I just got it for the artwork. There were several Perez pieces in the coloring book. I don't think coloring something in as detailed as Perez's art would be relaxing. I think it would be stressful. I can't imagine having a pencil or crayon small enough to color in some of the details size of a standard coloring book. That's probably true. Thanks, Gothos Mansion. Two-time Fantastic Lounge drinking champion Dr. Rand says, I was more of a DC kid, so the few Marvel comics I got as a kid really imprinted. One of them is Captain Marvel issue 50, in which Cap and all the Avengers fight the Super Adaptoid. That was definitely the first comic I read with the Scarlet Witch, the Vision, and the Beast. He was bouncing and funny in that book, and I immediately loved him. Since then, I have almost always enjoyed his appearances. He is smart and funny and agile and strong. He is sort of a cool POV character for nerds. I am a Grant Morrison apologist, but his take on the Beast never really landed for me either. His de-evolution to feline didn't make much sense to me. The Beast having a litter box was stupid. And then, remember he announced he was gay in that comic and then later said, nah, just kidding. Not a good take. Love the chat and love the drink. Thanks, Ange. Lover of specials and Sandman, FW All-Star Paul Kien says, fantastic episode. John is a great addition to our community. Another great set of insights. I agree. I prefer the happy-go-lucky Avengers Beast to the scientist and the X-Men. And don't get me started on the cat-like Beast. Yuck. Also, on board with you guys that the Korvac saga rules. I had started reading Avengers only a few issues earlier than this, so this is right in my sweet spot. I would love to be able to hold a book with my feet. And that is so cool that John saw the water ski show. Wow. I might have to try the Blue Beast. Sounds delicious. You should try it, Paul. I think you'd like it. Bucky749104 is 2 cents to say, listen to the podcast while I was cleaning. Here's a random fact about the Beast that ties into pro wrestling. The Beast was, for a short time, a pro wrestler. I believe his foe was Uranus, the Untouchable. I know what you're talking about, Bucky. Yeah, that's right. Boy, that was a long, long time ago. Always chilling at the bar, Edo Boznar says, oh man, I love the Beast, specifically the bouncing blue furred version. Yeah, he was cool in his non-furry form as an original X-Man, but to me, he was never better than when he was a member of the Avengers during this period. It's a great choice of character, John. And I love the Korvac saga and the whole run of the Avengers in the late 70s up to, but not necessarily including issue 200, the infamous issue 200. It's a great choice of an issue. It works so well on its own because so much happens and so many characters appear, but also as basically the first chapter in said Korvac saga. After reading it, you know something cool is on the horizon. And yes, I agree with both of you that the Korvac saga is better than the Avengers Forever. In fact, so are the Celestial Madonna saga, ooh, the Serpent Crown saga, and Knights of
Wondegore arc. Otherwise, I have many thoughts on Avengers Forever, many thoughts for those who may not want to follow that link or did and found it too long, did not read. The most important point is that while I liked it well enough, I think it ultimately failed in its mission to sort of smooth out all the continuity conundrums that arose in the Avengers up to that point. And I thought some of the character choices were a bit off. Also, so there is a link if you go to the comment section for this episode. He does have a link there that you can read Edo's whole thoughts on the Avengers Forever. Also, I have to correct something John said. The Squadron Sinister predate the Squadron Supreme. They first appeared in Avengers issue 69, published in 1969. Double nice. While the Squadron Supreme were introduced about a year and a half later in 1971. Another great show, gentlemen. All right, thanks for the correction there, Edo. Appreciate it. Nate Great, Never Has to Wait, says, the Beast is just more fun as an Avenger, although he was pretty good during the first X-Factor stories and Josh Whedon's X-Men run. The less said about Krakoa villain thing, the better. Newcomer Lizanne Oswalt steps into the lounge to say, impressive podcast, most impressive. The cover is brilliant, but it's Perez, so no surprise there. Great storytelling, and it draws your eye from the typography on down. I met Perez at a con once. He was a cool guy and a major talent. Now, this was done before he did Logan's Run, so it's not at his pinnacle of his artistic abilities. The good storytelling and composition. Yeah, the witch's outfit was never my favorite. The one Perez gave her in her second run was my favorite, or the movie outfit. Cap looks great. Yeah, Beast being lifted away that way is funny. I'm beginning to understand why they gave him the cat look later. I love the Guardians of the Galaxy we got in the movies, but I was hoping to see Charlie. I always liked him. I think we do see all the original Guardians in, I think it's the second Guardians movie at the end, at like Yondu's funeral at the end there. So look for that. Old school Yondu is cool, but I like the gun version as well. The rest of the team looks cool, and technically Starhawk is non-binary. I wonder how Stallone would feel about the character he played in the movie being non-binary. So Nick's intel was wrong? Well, government inefficiency at its finest, LOL. Also, cool drink, y'all. Anyway, can't wait for the next episode. Thank you and welcome. I think this is your first comment, Lizanne, so thanks and welcome to the Fantastic Lunch. FW Godfather and guy who got on the show and then never bothered to comment again, the irredeemable Shag, says, another fantastic episode. See what I did there? Fantastic part is mostly down to the brilliance of John Stibe and so many references to two feet. No credit given to Brett. Thank you, Shag. The mocktail version of the Blue Beast drink sounds delicious. I might have to try that myself one day. Regarding Hank McCoy as a character, for me, he'll always be an X-Men, mostly because I read very few appearances of him in the Avengers. Though credit to me for picking Hank in my Avengers draft. No wasted space on Cowboys there. How dare you, Shag. Love John sharing his thoughts on the X-Men. Similarly, my X-Men will always be the Claremont era, Giant Size X-Men issue 1 to X-Men 94 through around Uncanny X-Men 281, and then they spun off a new book. From the feedback section, I feel terrible that I failed to comment on the fantastic coverage of the 5YL Legion with Dr. Ange. That was a wonderful episode and discussion, and it brought a smile to my face to hear my beloved 5YL era celebrated with so much passion. Thanks for the excellent shows. Keep it up, Brett. You might actually get good at this eventually. Maybe. Thanks, Jack. Jason Keen says, this issue of the Avengers was on my wish list as I'm trying to get a full run of Volume 1, so this episode was a nice excuse to stop by a local comic shop and pick it up, along with about 10 other issues that had nothing to do with this episode. Also, reading through it, I had a sense of deja vu and had to pull out another issue of the Avengers, also drawn by George Perez, this time from Volume 3. Only a master like Perez could give a callback to himself. Issue 14 features Hank showing up at the Avengers Mansion to welcome back Simon Williams to the Land of the Living, bouncing down the hallway, and the way Hank is lifted up by the back of his fur, originally by Charlie 27 and later by Simon, is nearly identical. Anyone with both issues or access to Marvel Unlimited should check it out. I also posted the images over in Blue Sky under my Keen Comics account. I did look at those. That is amazing. Yeah, he definitely sort of lifted from himself, but it was almost kind of a cool homage to himself. So we'll let it go. It was pretty cool. And thanks for sharing. Martin Gray, enjoying a virgin pina colada in the lounge, says, thanks for another top episode. Lovely to hear John again. I love this period of the Avengers too. The Korvac saga was a great story with loads of good action and character moments, and of course the art. Regarding 167 in particular, that splash page is classic. I hate to think that what view Wanda got when Beast dripped on her. I found the fashion show much more fun than the satellite stuff, but I like my Avengers down to earth, and classic Nighthawk is my favorite. Jan's design, fashion designs were as horrible as ever. I vaguely remember that the two models were real people. Kathy Schilling, I got nothing but Denise Vladimir was also known as Letter Denise Wool, whose credits include an issue of The Amazing Adventures starring our very own Blue-Eyed Beast and a few issues of this very storyline. Jim Shooter must have been plotting on the fly because I was never convinced, given this debut, that Karina was originally meant to be anything other than a regular Earth girl. Also, Michael Korvac was hot. I always loved Wonder Man and the Bouncing Beast. I wish Marvel had reunited them. Did people really think of Simon Williams as a Superman-like? The only thing that they have in common is strength, blue hair, and glasses, but very different glasses. A couple of ideas for cocktails should be Cajun Arise, Drinking Violet, very good, and Tequila Mockingbird. Just so you know, Martin, actually, Tequila Mockingbird has sort of a signature drink. That's the name of a bar. It's been the name of a couple bars, actually. But yeah, I think there's one right now in Ocean City, Maryland, that's been there for a long time called Tequila Mockingbird. So you're on to something there, buddy. Big Frank chimes in, say, finished up the latest episode. Love the Beast. Combo of strength and intellect. Love the Haas Cartwright reference as well. The list of new superheroes down to the C&D list for me continues to grow. Would have made a sizable bet that it was Alter Boy that... It's from his last comment where he thought it was Ultra Boy instead of Ultra Boy. But I will admit, Ultra Boy makes more sense. Now, thanks for clarifying the post-episode notes. Keep it up. Hope to catch up soon. Thanks, Big Frank. And thank you all who listen. Be sure to subscribe to The Fantastic Four, available on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and Spotify. And, of course, please leave a 5-star review. Fantastic Four is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. You can find all episodes of the Fantastic Four and many other quality shows at fireandwaterpodcast.com. Please leave comments on the website. Let me know what you think of the show. I'll read all feedback at the end of every episode. You can follow us on Facebook at FW Podcast Network, Blue Sky at FW Podcast, Instagram at Fire and Water Podcast. Use our hashtag online at hashtag FW Podcast. I can be found on Instagram and Blue Sky at Imaginate Design. Thanks again to Doug Adamson for hanging out in the Fantasta Lounge. Until next time, the bar is open.